Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bill Polian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Who's got the wiener schnitzel? Let's see, next we got roast beef au jus. Who's got the roast beef au jus? Last but not least, foot long. Who's got the foot long?
PFW in Progress.
Okay, gang, you know the rules. No humping, no pushing, no sniffing hiding.
With Fred Kirsch.
Whoa. Host, annual,
host,
host,
annual,
an annual,
annual,
annual meeting of
the big one, International Preservation Society tomorrow night.
Paul Perillo.
Hey, I guess they're right. Senior citizens, although slow and dangerous behind the wheel, can still serve a purpose.
Don't you go dying on me.
And Andy. And Andy?
That set of Hooters you got there.
I beg your pardon?
The owls, they're beautiful.
Andy Hart.
Must have been following us for weeks.
What do you say?
How the hell did they know that I got gas?
Eric Scalavino.
I can't feel my fingers anymore. They're numb.
Maybe you should wear these extra gloves. My hands are starting to get sweaty.
Extra gloves? You've had this pair of extra gloves this whole time?
Yeah, we're in the Rockies.
For now, anyway.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Yeah! PFW in Progress.
You fellas been doing a bit of boozing, have you? Sucking back on Grandpa's old cough medicine?
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
Want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Guys! Guys!
Fellas, think we could listen to the radio or something?
All right. Welcome to PFW in Progress. Oh, my God. You know, sometimes after a game like that, I come on here and a little bit of a pep talk, you know.
We'll save that for tomorrow.
Better have something because they need it.
I'm upset. I'm not in the mood to give anyone a pep talk
very
today.
Very loud, Paul.
Because I'm angry. Not so much that they lost the game. They're going to lose games this year. But the fact that they made me
look
so bad, that's what I'm angry about. Because I went to the mat for them saying there's no way that this team would go into a game and be caught like that, like Andy said, trap game, although he didn't pick the Browns. He didn't have the balls to pick them. But
that's true.
But that's what makes it a trap game.
He did say that it would be it could be a trap game, and it certainly was.
It was a trap game. Whether you fall into the trap or not is up to you.
It was a trap game, and they fell into it. And
they dove in.
And I thought that there's no way that that would happen. They might lose, 20 to 17, some type of, hard-fought game like that. But to lay down like that in Cleveland and then watch the rat get Gatorade poured on him on the sideline and Brian Daboll running around like some recreation of Josh McDaniels.
I knew where this was going.
Let me just break this down for Andy because he wasn't in the press box with us. There were about two or three different times on the sideline that things were happening, and we were all in a row. It was Fred, me, Eric, and B-Lo, right? So there was like two or three times I was like, oh, don't tell Fred. Don't tell. Like, we were literally whispering amongst each other on the right side to keep it away from Fred on the left. And then finally he saw the Joe Thomas bump when he knocked over Daboll. And he had that look. I was like, and he looked at me and I go, I was trying to shield you from that, Freddie. I didn't want you to see that.
So how was Kirschwertz? I would imagine this may have been an entertaining one for Kirschwertz.
Kirschwertz was exactly as you would think it was.
By the way, you can watch, you can read Kirschwertz in its entirety on Patriots.com after the fact. It's all up there, everything that transpired.
You could.
Yeah.
Would I want to?
No.
When they were down 7.
You don't even want to do what you're supposed to do.
When they were down 17-7, somebody wrote into Fred saying, now we're on a three-game losing streak.
Right.
because they have Pittsburgh and Indy the next two weeks. First, as if those two games were unwinnable, and second, as if down 17-7, you can't come back and win.
No, they jumped off real quick.
Was that Andy H. in Foxborough?
Yeah. I'm not that mad that they lost. I expected them to lose games this year, and I'm not surprised that they would go to Cleveland and
lose. You can't lose a game to teams like that,
though. To do what they did in that game, to lay down, to get pushed around the field like they got pushed around, is unacceptable.
And you have to admit it was from the get-go. I mean, those first two plays,
right from the get-go.
The 21 yards over the middle, you go, rut-row, the middle of the field's a problem. Right. 18 yards up the middle, hurtling my guy, James Sanders.
Right. Right.
Who should have gone for a headshot, and he might have made the tackle.
And then you hear all this stuff after the fact. It wasn't a good week of practice. Why?
Right.
What happened in practice this week that hasn't happened all the other weeks?
And Bill poo-pooed that. He said, we've had crappy practices before, and you come out and you win, or you have good ones, you come out and lose. It wasn't just like they laid down on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So, as I've said in the past, the whole practice thing, I wish Bill would tell us on Friday, we're going to lose Sunday. We had terrible practices.
Right.
Or we had some of the best practices ever. We're going to go out there and absolutely rape and pillage. I wish they'd tell us then. Don't wait till after the game until you lay an egg.
Speaking of raping and pillaging, Edelman finally gets in the game. They throw the ball to him, and he gets raped of the ball in the middle of the field.
I agree.
There's no other way to say it.
It's an apt description. I agree.
Eric Wright took the ball and his manhood right in the middle of the field.
He did, and it's funny because when I was coming into the building today, Julian Edelman was leaving, and he was yelling and making these weird noises, and I looked. I absolutely
squealing like a pig, perhaps?
No, but not far from it. He was making strange, loud noises, and I scanned. There was no one around.
Oh, my God.
So he may be in some sort of post-traumatic phase right now.
Fred is absolutely killing me right now. I just need to paint the rest of this picture from the press box. They get the ball, as you said, Andy. They had the two big plays. A good kickoff return, then a, 21 yards, 18 yards. Well, then the Patriots stopped them. They kicked a field goal. So you're like, well, okay, Cleveland came out with a little extra bounce here. You're on the road. You had to expect that, right? Then they mishandle the kick, and they go deep. McCourty gets all turned around, beaten badly. Then you have great goal line defense on the first goal line run. Didn't matter because Peyton Hillis were just tougher than you.
Right.
And he gets in. So basically, what was it, 5, 6, 7 plays into the game, you're down 10-0. Your offense is yet to get on the field. And that Cleveland sideline went bananas. And I looked at Fred and I said, rut-row. And he goes, nah, I'm not worried.
I wasn't at the time.
How?
Because I figured the Patriots would get their act together. Because
just so you know, that was the point I sent Paul an email that said, glad this wasn't a trap game. I would hate to see how one of those would start.
No, I figured the Patriots would get their act together. And let's face it, if Gronkowski doesn't, fumble the ball.
If he's not called off.
At the end of the...
No, he's talking about the other one.
Yeah,
that's a wash.
If he doesn't fumble the ball, they go into the locker room down three.
See, I think the Peyton Hillis fumble
ended
their scoring
mark. I think they would have got in.
I think they were going to score on that other drive where Peyton Hillis fumbled. They were marching right down the field. So
And that was a long run.
But I'm just saying, you go into the locker room down three, you get the ball back in the second half. It's a whole different mindset.
Oh, but I'm just saying, if they score that other one...
No, that's true. I mean, you can't... I'm not dismissing the fumble. The fumble was a big play in the game, and that was probably their one and only shot to get back in the game was that play. So I'm not dismissing for 60 minutes you got thoroughly outplayed.
There was a lot of vindictiveness going on curse words. With Gronkowski had a tough game, and all the people, where's Andy's G-force now?
Defending
him. Does he still want that pick?
And, yes, I do.
Well, so do I. I mean, but I don't understand.
I'm fine with that pick.
How people turn so quickly.
I maintain he will be a dominant force on this team for a decade. Yeah. I think that's what he is. He had a bad day.
But
I also thought the quarterback had a bad day throwing to him. Those first two throws of the day I thought were bad throws.
Yeah, he
was
open a few times.
Maybe Gronkowski was off a half a step or the timing, whatever, but I still think
But even this morning I heard, John Mita Perel call the Patriots, disappointing. Not just that game, the team. They're disappointed.
How can you call the team for the year disappointed?
I don't understand
for that game,
that.
You should be disappointed because they didn't live up
I'm
to your
furious.
Expectations.
I'm furious.
That's ridiculous to say
for
this
year,
team has been disappointing.
Stupid.
Yeah.
They're 6-2. They've played a very difficult schedule, and right now they lay as much claim as anybody in football of being the best team in the league right now. Listen, I don't know how you can be disappointed with the way the Patriots did. Now, am I disappointed at the way they played like you are, Fred? Yeah. They didn't play well Sunday. And the other team did play well. But I don't know how you can be disappointed with the first eight games.
They subject me to this, though. You know, you go into Denver and you got to watch all that. And then you go to Cleveland, you got to watch all that.
It's all about Fred.
It is. It's all about me. But this one, my pride. Ooh.
To me, this one was worse, or however you want to describe it, because it was everyone.
Yeah.
If you saw the post game, just, you know, Rob Ryan, Brian Daboll, Eric Mangini, Ben Watson, there was just a litter of them.
Right.
At least in
Denver, nice chat with Billy
it was pretty
Yates.
Much just McDaniels was giddy, was acting
right,
like a
right.
schoolgirl. This was, it reminded me of a couple of years ago when the Patriots beat the Jets, and we happened to run in when leaving the press box to all the assistant coaches, and they were yelling and screaming and hooting
right.
and hollering, and take that Mangini,
right.
and take
oh,
that
God.
Easy E, and this was a
sorry, Mangini.
And,
I mean,
and Colt McCoy even said after the game that this game meant a lot to our coaches.
And Mangini said he said yeah. that Saturday night.
He came right out
in the pregame, said yeah. this means a lot to us. And I think that's an example of him coming into his own. And you know what? If I'm going to fail, I'm going to fail being me. This means a lot to me. I'm going to tell my team it means a lot to me and see how it works. And it worked.
All right.
Very, very
well.
Well,
we'll talk to you and see how you feel at webradio@patriots.com.
Me?
Is the email address or 50. No, I was talking
friend.
To my listeners.
He's never done that before, ever. He's now like the solo host on BZ when I drive home late night. We'll talk to you when we get back from the break and see how you feel on the new taxes.
Speaking of driving home late night, have you heard that guy that's on
Dan Ray?
The Hub on
terrible voice
with the Chicago voice, the unbelievable over the top Chicago accent.
He's like doing it from his living room,
and he was also terrible.
Oh, he's
like
not
he was
good
stumble
at
and fumble.
He's
and
not good.
He's like me if I did a show
a little
yeah.
bit.
Yeah.
I wanted to say you made us get our Blackberries. I got mine right in front of me so I can stay abreast of everything with Twitter.
You said breast.
Yes. Tom Curran just tweeted breaking news out of Patriots land. About 14 turkeys just ran across the highway in front of me. 13 made it. Not bad.
So wait a minute. He's driving.
I like
that. And he has the time to tweet
after hitting a turkey.
Ay, ay, ay.
Glad I got my smartphone here with me.
508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline, webradio@patriots.com. All right, so we're going to talk about the Patriots game in Cleveland, obviously. But there's other news around the NFL as well. As we all know, Wade Phillips finally got fired in Dallas. He's been replaced by Jason Garrett, who they've elevated from offensive coordinator.
But he sucked into that job.
But Jerry Jones made it very clear that although Garrett could earn the job, this is a temporary fix.
As it should be. The offense has sucked, and he has fallen out of graces in the last two-plus years. I mean, he was a hot coaching candidate. They gave him like $1 million and all. He was one of those guys. He has stunk since. Yeah.
And I still say as long as they allowed Bill Cowher to hire his own coaches, he wouldn't need full control of personnel, and I think he'd do it.
No, he wouldn't because that's not what he is.
Yeah, I don't think he's a personnel guy.
But everyone keeps saying, oh, he's going to need full control.
No.
Let him hire his own coaches, but beyond that, just let him coach.
I just went on the record with Paul. If they hire Cowher, it'll be one of the colossal failures in major sports history, I think.
Well, Cowher could be one of those guys that was a product of the system.
Well, I think he's a good coach, not a great one. You know,
yeah,
he has that Super Bowl ring, and people think he's like this great Parcellian fix franchises. He knows exactly what to do wherever he goes. He's not that. He's not a personnel guy. He was with one team. He underperformed more often than he overperformed with that team. You know, at the hands of the Patriots at times at Heinz Field, losing when you're hosting title games. I think he's also a little bit of a hothead.
Yeah.
And I think he and Jerry Jones could
sure.
fight.
By the way, Stripper says that he runs firewadephillips.com. I guess they're going to have to change that to wadephillipswasfired.com. So,
good job, everybody.com.
Yeah. But
how about Bo is better than MarcusDupree.com?
Please.
Suck it, Strippers.
Wow. What else is going on? Brad Childress rebounded, and Brett Favre had a great game. And the Vikings.
He'll still be fired.
He had a great fourth quarter. Evidently, he was really bad in that whole game.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess he just caught fire at the end.
So the Vikings, the Jets pulled out one, which, again, made my Sunday even worse. You know, besides watching all that nonsense across the field on the sideline, I had to get my hopes up that, oh, well, at least the Jets are going to lose down by 10 with, what, how many minutes left in the game? I don't
240?
Know. Something like that.
That entertained
another team, the Lions, that don't know how to manage a clock. you know, when they have a lead.
Paul wants to talk to you. I'm going to read my Twitter while you two fight.
Yeah. I'm not going to fight. I like the play call. I just don't like the execution. You can't have an incomplete pass on that play.
No, you can't.
But I think you need to throw the ball on that play. Paul, you're not getting the first down running the ball into the line.
Yeah, but at least the clock is moving.
Yeah, and this is what ended up happening. I know that everything changes. You know, there's more desperation, but they ended up getting the ball to the 28-yard line with 40 seconds left. Yeah. So that 40 seconds, I don't think, was the difference between winning and losing. But much like the rest of the national media, play calls are determined whether or not they're good or not based on whether or not they work. In other words, if Tom Brady on 4th and 1...
He's yelling at you, you know.
No. Okay, no, this was very annoying. Fine. No, because... This
called you annoying now.
No, this was very annoying yesterday in listening to some of the... I love... Teams like disagree as much as I did with Belichick's 4th and 2 decision to not punt. I loved the play call. Like, you got to try to throw the football to get a first down and end the game.
Particularly when Tom Brady's your quarterback.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I don't. You will not get a first down on 3rd and 6 more than 10% of the time by just running the ball into the line. So I think he went with the percentages. It didn't work, but. The thing that bothers me is these guys analyze this whether or not based on the outcome of the play. If that's like Tom Brady's 4th and 1 flip to Sammy Morris that gets 25 yards down to the inside the 5, do you think anybody was complaining about that call?
No.
Now, if it was incomplete or if he got rushed and sacked, do you think people would complain about it?
Yes.
Well, why doesn't he kick the field goal? Why doesn't he kick the field goal? It's all about outcome.
I love when Fred half listens. You ask him a yes and no question, he goes, no.
He played along.
Yes, but he wasn't really sure if he was supposed to be yelling
along.
No or yes there.
Yes, no, he was. No, I know what Fred was doing. That's exactly what I was looking for.
Yeah. All right. And then at least Miami lost, which is good. But then Pittsburgh has a chance to lose, and Cincinnati, you know, just can't put the ball in. I'm surprised. I hand it to Cincinnati to stay in that game because they had every reason to do what the Patriots did against the Browns, spotting – you know, their opponent 10 points right off the bat.
You know what it was kind of reminiscent of to me? It was the Patriots game against San Diego.
Yeah.
It was San Diego could do nothing right for 3 quarters, and they got themselves 3 scores behind, just like they couldn't do, you know, that's what Cincinnati did last night. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, the Patriots started handing San Diego opportunities. The Pittsburgh almost handed the game over on a platter last night. It was unbelievable.
So, Jets are tied now. Well, not really. Jets are in first place as a product of the tiebreaker. But both teams 6-2. Patriots have a game at home still to play with the Jets, so that's a good thing. But there is a tough stretch coming up. They got Pittsburgh Sunday night. Then we got the Colts back at Gillette Stadium. I'm a lot more worried about Pittsburgh than I am the Colts at this point.
Oh.
Yes or no?
Yeah, but I agree.
I would be worried about both.
I think both teams can beat you, but right now the state of the Colts physically.
Right.
If that was a normal Colts team at anywhere near full strength, I'd be more worried about the Colts because I don't like that matchup. I like the way the Patriots match up against Pittsburgh in recent years. I don't like the way they match up against the Colts in recent years. I think the Colts do everything that really exploits the Patriots' weaknesses.
Well, I think Peyton Manning exploits everybody's weakness.
But they don't have anybody to do it with. I mean,
right.
You know, it's going to be Reggie Wayne, and that's about it.
That may be enough.
I guess Garcon, right?
Garcon's there, and they got the other guy, right?
The other guys are dead.
I thought they had somebody else.
Gonzalez is out for the year. No, Colley, I got to think, is going to miss at least a little while.
At least this week.
Tammy's played pretty well, in the Andy Hart way of doing things. I'm tooting my own horn on Jacob Tammy.
Never heard of him.
I was very high on him coming out of that draft in exactly the kind of role that he's in. Not a blocker, strictly a pass catcher.
Never heard of him.
That's a perfect fit for him, Indianapolis.
They also have this kid, Blair White, out of Michigan State.
Yeah, he stinks.
Caught a few balls.
Blair out of Michigan State, Thomas?
Anyway, I'm upset.
Not Andy.
I'm very upset.
Patriot.
Not so much at the Patriots loss, but the way that
and what it means to you, I know.
What it means to me and how they made me look. They made me look bad.
They did.
Like that.
And you don't suffer fools.
And normally you do a fine job of making yourself.
What?
I was just going to say, as Paul would say.
Wow.
Colt McCoy, I thought, was tremendously impressive.
Yeah. Under pressure.
Weren't there quotes coming out of Cleveland in training camp that he could get cut?
Yes. That he was that bad in the preseason.
Well, I don't know what happened, but the guy I saw looked like a game manager. You know, no question. They weren't asking him to win the game. It helps when you have 240 yards rushing.
Andy.
But he rolled out, threw on the run accurately. I thought made a couple plays, had a little moxie to
him. I mean, Bill Belichick, although I know he would never show it, but he had to be fuming.
If you put it all.
Well, I think he showed it. The way he fumes is when he takes his headset off early in the, well, not early, but relatively early in the fourth quarter, sends Tom Brady to the bench and stands there with his arms folded on the sideline like, if no one else is going to try, then I'm done trying.
Yeah.
That's how I think he fumes.
I actually think he may have done that by not onside kicking. And I know it was a weird situation because you didn't have your kicker. But if you're really trying to get the ball back, more so than technique, aren't you just worrying about kicking the ball 11 yards and seeing if you can fall on it?
Yeah.
And he could have had Mesko do that. He could have had somebody do it if Welker couldn't. And to me, kicking it deep right to the returner told me that he didn't really even...
That's what they should have done. They should have lined up Mesko as the kicker and Welker as the first, the R1 or whatever guy, and had them. And then the other team's obviously going to think, well, there's a chance Welker kicks this. He just kicked the PAT. There's a little confusion up front, onside kick. Boom it.
Yeah.
Not boom it, I mean onside.
Bang!
You know, that brings up another point, another bad thing that came out of this game is Gostkowski. Something happened with his quad. No one knows for sure whether it's a strain, a pull, a tear. Who knows? But there's report that quotes a source that he's going to miss at least two games.
Comcast friend Mike Giardi reporting that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so, I mean, that's not good. The Patriots.
He's the one that said Shane Graham? That's the report that I read last night?
The Patriots will have to bring somebody in, and they'll have to get him here pretty soon, probably by tomorrow, I would imagine, Wednesday, don't you think? I don't think they're going to want to wait.
No, but, I mean, I don't think it really matters.
Well.
He's a kicker.
You got to work with the, you know, the holder and the snapper. It's, you know.
I think a kicker could show up on Sunday and kick.
Probably. You know.
It might not be perfect. Yeah. You might, yeah. But.
But I'm sure you want to get him here as soon as possible.
Sure. Sooner rather than later.
You know, so that compounds things.
Another awful snap on Sunday, too, that Mesko had to field on a hop.
Yes.
Did a great job getting rid of it.
Yeah. Is that right?
It's been a bad. Did you watch the game?
No.
There's been a bad snap in
is that the one
pretty
where
much
I,
every game
since
Miami.
Is that the one
Miami.
Where I said I thought someone tipped it?
No.
Oh, okay.
That was a different one.
That was the punt.
Could you tell there was
the
a punt?
36
No, there was a bad – no. Phil's right. There was a bad snap on a punt that Mesko won fielded on a hop and got it off. There was another punt that
they didn't
looked,
show a,
it looked
a good
like it may
play.
Have gotten deflected.
Yeah.
But it's hard to tell.
I just assumed it was another Mesko shank.
It's hard to tell because a lot of his punts look like that.
So it ended up being yardage-wise a pretty good punt, that one.
It was like 36.
To me, it looked like it went out of bounds a lot.
Yeah, Fred was like, where are they putting the ball? He thought it was on the other side of the field.
I did.
Add that to the Paul Perillo list of flawed ways they do it. The guy just looks up and kind of guesses.
I had that going out of bounds a lot, you know, closer than
he did have a better vantage point than you.
Yeah. No, it was. We had a tough vantage point, you know, the Cleveland press box. Not a bad press box. Although,
I'm just saying, you're in the press box. He's on the field.
I will say that a new low for lunch. Lunch was literally pretzels and potato chips.
It was, yeah, and cookies.
Pre-game meal?
No, this was the
lunch.
This was in between at half.
At the half.
Oh, I'm okay with that.
It was nachos, cookies, pretzels,
you're there to work,
chips.
Not eat.
What?
You're there to work, not eat.
No, but I get hungry.
If he doesn't eat, then he doesn't work.
I
That's
need fuel.
That's fuel. You already ate a meal.
Well,
it was an hour and a half after you had a meal.
Pre-game wasn't much better. It was just cold potatoes and waffles.
What?
That's it.
Well, pre-game, I had breakfast at the hotel. What are you looking for?
Well, they were supposed to be warm.
How many meals do you need in like a 5-hour span?
Four.
You really have turned into one of those bitchin' media types.
Anyway.
Did you put syrup on your potatoes, Fred?
I didn't have any breakfast there.
Have we mentioned the name Peyton Hillis yet?
Yeah, right off the top.
Because he is the ass whooper.
Talked about his touchdown run that he got hit in the backfield. They had perfect
ran
defense.
Through
he
Mayo,
ran right through guys.
Ran through Wilfork. Ran through everyone. And then also ran around him, by the way, when he
wanted
to.
What do you think they're saying in Denver today?
Well, they should have been saying that all along. That was terrible. We knew he had talent. We liked him going back to
another
college.
Another guy we loved.
And he flashed at times in Denver.
Well,
but not for boy genius.
Yeah, in 08, when they were down to like their eighth running back, he had like a couple of 100-yard
games. I believe he had a 100-yard receiving and running game. He's a versatile athlete. He's suspect, by the way. He might use your machine that you have stashed away in the closet.
Oh, is that
the
right?
Shake weight?
No, the juicer.
Really?
And I don't like guys who do their post-game press conferences while dipping into a bottle while talking in front of the media at the podium.
Oh, really?
Not a big fan. I mean, I guess if you're from Arkansas, that's probably...
I don't like that.
It's probably high class. He's probably showing you.
Right.
I used in a bottle.
He uses a bottle. Right, exactly.
Normally it'd be on your face.
Everyone Vrabel, you just throw the towel on the floor.
My favorite is when guys get the Gatorade, take the cap off, pour the Gatorade in the garbage so that they can then use it as a dip bottle.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Anyway, that stuff's not good for you.
No.
It really isn't.
Didn't they ever go to, like, ninth grade high school health class where they show you people with, like, half their face missing?
I guess it's part of the culture because Mangini was dipping during the game.
And who else did I see dipping? Oh, Les Miles, I believe. His fell out, rolled on the ground, and he picked it back up.
Oh, I thought they were talking about him eating grass.
Oh, I think his dip fell out, and he picked it up.
Oh, because
they made a big thing about him eating grass.
I heard the same thing.
He said it was part of his routine or something.
Oh, I thought it was his dip fell out.
No,
I wonder if that's what it was.
And a side note, again, a note for strippers. Did you see the fake play?
Yeah.
Where the kid asked for said we have the wrong ball?
Middle school kid comes up under center.
They actually put it on SportsCenter last night. Comes up under center, and then he's obviously talking, and he apparently said, oh, this is the wrong ball. This is not the ball we're supposed to use. So the center just picks the ball up and hands it to him. The kid casually walks in the A gap like he's heading towards the official to give him the ball. When he gets past like the linebackers of the defense, he just starts sprinting for a touchdown.
And it counted.
I don't like that play.
Talk about trick plays.
That's a much bigger
trick than what the Browns play.
Right. I want to see it just, you know, for curiosity.
He casually struts through, and then he just hits the – and one kid tries to kind of run him down, like maybe the corner has the angle, but – a touch.
And what level was this?
I think it said middle school.
Yeah, it was young.
Pretty sneaky, sis.
Yeah, it was young. All right, webradio at patriots.com. 508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. And, of course, today is James Pettigrew's day. He's the most interesting Patriots fan in the world. Thank you for lunch.
He could play D-tackle. We might have played him on Sunday.
Wow. Thank you, James.
I wonder how James felt about the game. I'm sure he wasn't too happy.
Just was amazing.
But, you know, it's amazing. This whole season, to me, it's just a continuation of what we've seen every week. Now, this week, we get three overtime games and two kickers getting hurt, so positional players have to make attempts on extra points. I mean, what are the odds of things like that happening?
Yeah. Andrew in the Ukraine says, at first I thought how horrible this game was, but then I remembered one of the many PFW debates from this week and thought how ironic it is that on one hand, Andy and Paul have to admit Fred was right about the Patriots not being number one, and at the same time, Fred absolutely has to pick the Steelers next week, even though he won't.
You know, it's funny. I did talk about that a little bit with the guys after the game, and I was saying Fred was right in that whole argument, and then totally wrong about the trap.
Right. I admit that.
You know, it was funny the way that it all worked out.
I admit it.
You know, funny, you know, the way you tell a story.
So, you know what another thing that bothers me? And somebody wrote in an email.
Pleated pants.
That kind of reminded me of that, although I don't think it was a distraction.
Pants?
James from Maine, I think. Yeah, Jay from Maine thinks that, says he's a fan of Logan Mankins, but he thought that, you know, starting him and playing him in this game was a distraction. Now, I don't buy that, but I was a little, I didn't see the point of, after 3 days of practice, throwing him in there as a starter. Everyone else needs August and four preseason games, and you just throw him in there as a starter. I didn't see the point. I'm not saying that it had anything to do with the outcome of the game. I just didn't see the point.
You won't like this theory.
Okay.
Paul hated this theory when we argued about it. Podcast argument Friday roster report.
Yeah,
this was his preseason. I argued you play him against the Browns because the front seven of the Steelers can embarrass you with their aggressive blitzes. They're far more talented. We said you could probably pick 8 to 11 players on the Steelers that are better than anyone on the Browns defense, and that he needed these reps, game reps, to get ready for a huge challenge on the road against James Harrison, Troy Polamalu, Lamar Woodley, all those guys.
Well, that feeds into the theory that they took the Browns lightly.
Yeah, what I didn't...
Well, I don't think Bill Belichick expresses that openly in a team. You know, we think the Browns stink, so we're going to start Mankins on Sunday.
The part of your argument that I didn't agree with was that he looks at it... In other words, what I said to you was, so you're saying that if this were Pittsburgh this week and Cleveland next week, he wouldn't have played. And that's the part I disagreed with.
I
agree with your theory that it's his preseason. He's got to knock the rust off. He's not ready to go wire to wire for 60 minutes, and he didn't. He rotated.
So why do you put him him in the first drive? Why don't you wait a little while and
so
rotate
you're saying
him in?
Symbolically?
Yeah. What was the point?
The point of that be?
I go with your whole, I don't suffer fools. Who am I trying to fool here? If he's going to play X amount of snaps. What difference does it make when they those
I
snaps
think it does
come?
Make a difference.
Well,
I think it was pointless and unnecessary.
I mean, I don't know how it can be unnecessary to not have your best players on the field. Clearly, that's the message that Belichick is saying there. My best players are going to play, right?
Especially when there's no issue, confusion. I mean, he was lauded by every player in the locker room last week for coming back.
Of course
we love
he
him.
Is, but after three practices, he's not your best player right now.
Well, I mean, that's where I would argue with you. I don't, you know, they lost the game. It's
everybody
easy.
Else needs a whole preseason, but three games and now he's your best guard. It doesn't make sense.
So you wouldn't start Tom Brady if he came back?
Not after three practices, no.
Oh, that's where you and I differ. I put the best guy on the field, and he's better than Brian Hoyer.
He wouldn't be ready, and he would admit, I'm not ready.
Yes, he would.
I don't.
It's a little different because a quarterback
versus
a guard.
Well, you know what? Let's just get rid of preseason altogether.
Well, they're going to get rid of two of them.
They don't need it because, obviously, guys can practice for three practices, and they're ready.
Yeah.
Let's get rid of it.
Are they at their best? No. But are they better than Dan Conley? Yes.
I don't think so. I disagree with that.
Well, what happened on Sunday that you think was wrong?
What did he do that showed he was so rusty and out of shape?
Oh, I saw him miss a couple blocks. He was running around.
Did you see Conley miss any?
No.
Right.
He wasn't out there enough. Glenn and Augusta, after watching the interview with Belichick this week, all I can say is, wow. My question is, how intimidating is Bill after a loss like that? A room full of reporters and practically no questions. Is that a result of knowing Bill isn't in the mood to answer them? Or is he just that imposing? Personally, I think this was a good loss. This will refocus the team and propel us for another couple of wins. Fear not, 13-3, here we come. My big question is, will we get it together for the postseason? Well, first, the Belichick. I mean, that's the way it is after most games, right?
Well, I think a big part of it is, two questions in, you know the phrase he's using to answer all questions. This week it was, however you want to measure it or whatever you can measure, they did it better than we did. You were going to get that if you asked, Tom Brady number 12? He would have said, you can measure it whatever number you want. They were better than us.
Yeah, there were plenty of questions in the press conference. They just all elicited
it's
the same answer.
It's not fear. It's, you know how Bill says you don't beat your head against a wall? If you can't run against a team, you don't keep trying to run? Well, if you can't get Bill to answer a question and he tells you in the first three what he's going to use as the pat answer of the day, you're not going to change anything.
And I'm not generally a big believer in the quote-unquote good loss. That was a good loss, refocus, whatever. The one exception that I would might be willing to submit would be if you're maybe a scrappy up-and-coming team and you play. Remember back in 01, Freddie, when we played St. Louis here at Gillette Stadium. We were 5-5. I thought 5-4 at the time. St. Louis was the defending champs. They came in here. We played them nose-to-nose. We came up short. But it was a good game. I think we established ourselves. We proved to ourselves that we were a force to be reckoned with. And even though it was a loss, you could say it wasn't the worst loss.
Yep.
You can't say that when you're 6-1 and you lose to a 2-5 team.
No.
Especially the way they lost. Nothing fancy about it. No trick plays. No chicanery, if you will. Just good old fashioned ass whooping.
Now I'm sure there will be lessons to be learned from this game. And the basic one is you guys aren't that good. You just can't roll out there and beat any team.
In Fred's defense, this is consistent. This is not him riding a roller coaster. This is what he said last week. Got to give it to you, Freddie.
You know, so I hope that's the lesson they learned. A little bit of humble pie, as Adalys Thomas would say, and they eat it.
I think we want to strip ourselves of all Adalys Thomas references.
His philosophies.
Well, but I'm just saying, because he came out with the T-shirt. But, you know, they did, you know, obviously they needed something because mentally they came out not ready to play against a 2-6 team. And, you know, that said, I think Cleveland is a little bit better than their record, but they were 2-6, and you look at that offense, there really wasn't much. I mean, now we know Hillis is a beast, but they've stopped running backs like that before. It's an attitude, and they didn't have it. They were getting pushed around.
Well, I do want to – he's a beast. He's 250, 60 pounds, whatever. He also has speed. I've heard people try to lump him in with some of the other – you know, like he's Ron Dane or Brandon Jacobs. He's a guy who returned punts and kicks.
What about Mike Alston?
In college. Yeah, everybody does that because they look for the white-on-white comparison. But he's a guy.
I don't think Alston was as fast as
he's a that's my point.
He's
this
a thousand times more gifted a runner than Mike Alston.
Everybody raves about, you know, Gerard Mayo runs a 4.5 40 or he's this fast guy. He's faster than Gerard Mayo. We saw that. And so he's not a plotter. He's not that usual big body. If we just man up, we can stop him. He also has speed.
Yeah, and he gets to that speed quickly.
Yes.
It doesn't take him a while to get up to speed.
And he gets back to speed.
Right.
When he runs into a brick wall like he did on the goal line, he gets moving forward again.
So he is good. Cribbs is good.
Well, let's not make him look great.
Yeah, McCoy is still and he looked really good in that game.
McCoy looked really good. I would be curious to see how he looked, how different it would look if more was asked of him. But when we got back, I was talking to Andy Fred. I don't know if I said this to you, but you know who he reminded me a lot during the game of Chad Pennington when Pennington's going really well. You know, making good decisions, not just, you know, being a game manager by not taking some shots, pushing the ball downfield, some of them into coverage too. You know, saying, I want to see if my guy can make a play. One of them he was lucky to get back. I thought Will Hite had really good coverage on Chancey Stuckey, and Stuckey made a nice play. Will Hite, I thought, played well. I thought that was probably the best game that I've seen him have in a while, especially early on. He made a good play on another third down to make a tackle well short of the first down. But I like the way McCoy got out of the pocket. He's a better runner than Pennington ever was, but used his legs and used his head and made some good accurate throws and also was rewarded by his receivers, who, frankly, made some nice plays for him. Robiski made a terrific diving catch. Massacoy went down really low on that first one, that 21-yarder, made a nice hands catch. And the tight end, I think it was Evan Moore, that made the catch down the sideline. So, listen, give Cleveland credit. Again, it was nothing fancy. It was not the Wildcat that they unveiled. It was not some unknown game plan. They just beat you.
All right, we're going to take a quick break here on PFW in Progress. A lot more of your emails coming up.
When the boss says it...
For those that want Patriot Talk with other talk radio stations are talking other stuff, go to Patriots.com and listen to PFW in Progress.
You have to do it. PFW in Progress on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's gotta be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking like newspapers, you know, when you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian, you can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only. Equipment charges, taxes, and fees, and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help. I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats. With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
Have you ever had a lobster bisque?
I have not.
You don't know from soup then if you haven't had one.
You don't know from soup.
You don't know from
soup. Is it a soup?
Every once in a while, it turns into that 1955 character.
Lobster bisque.
Then why isn't it called lobster soup?
You have a good lobster bisque, it just...
Because is a stew a soup or is it
no
a stew?
No soup for you.
It's like sex for your throat.
Is a chowder a soup? Eric already has sex for his throat.
Fred, why do you do this?
I had nothing to do with you.
Yes, you did.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress. That does remind me, though, that I had another dream.
I've been waiting for this.
It's not crazy, but it was kind of weird. We were at a game, or I was at a game, it wasn't in a stadium. It was more like a training camp setup where the sidelines were an embankment, a grass embankment, and all the media was in the end zone, you know, watching the game from the end zone. And I was on the embankment with the fans, and, you know, it started getting unruly where fans were yelling at each other and starting to, you know, get in the way of my concentration. So I figured, all right, I better go and sit with the media, even though I like sitting on the grass a little bit better. So I walked around the field, and I got to the place where all the media was sitting. And you know how, like, at the press conferences, all the cameras are behind where the people are sitting with all the tripod legs. It's like a jungle of legs. And I figured, well, you know what? I'm going to cut through and crawl through the legs of the tripods rather than, you know, go around. So I started crawling through, and, you know, these cameramen. If you touch the camera, oh my God, it's, you know, right. Because you're going to move my, I got the perfect angle, you know. So I started crawling through and I got stuck. And, you know, I'm kind of in there. I'm wedged in between tripod legs, and Dan Shaughnessy turns around and starts looking at me. So now, of course, I'm fully embarrassed. So I start reversing my way out, you know, the way I came, and I managed to get out, but I did jostle a couple cameras, and Shaughnessy actually was nice, and he said, "Don't worry, I'll take care of it." So as I'm walking away, I see him up, like, realigning the cameras for me. So that was my dream.
I think a doctor would have a field day with that.
Yeah, no one had a unit on the side of their hip.
No, but clearly you have issues. First of all, you're torn. Are you a fan or are you the media? You tried to position yourself with the fans, but then you realized I belong with
the
media.
You know what? That's a good analysis, Andy.
Second, you have a weight problem and got stuck. You were like Winnie the Pooh trying to crawl through the log.
Exactly.
And you got stuck.
Yeah.
So you're subconsciously a little bit, you know, it's hindering me. It's not allowing me to do what I need to do, this weight problem. I need to look into it.
Wow. I never thought about that.
Okay.
You want a cookie?
I might.
I'll give you another shot then. I had a Patriots-related dream that was fairly odd. When I was growing up, I had on my block, there was this house that in the back had this, like, huge, like, garage that really wasn't used. It was kind of just used for storage, but it was great to, like, climb in. We used to, like, hide in it a lot.
Kind of where the priest took all the kids.
No, you kind of used it as a fort. Like, we'd climb up on the roof. You know, you'd play, like, hide-and-seek and stuff like that or whatever, and it was a great place because you could climb up on the roof and sort of see all the different angles for the different forges. Anyway, we spent a lot of time, like, in this backyard in the middle of the block. And
it means you're gay.
So
I think so.
And I was only, I was probably like teenage year. I was probably like 13, 14 years old in the dream. And
this is recently.
I had this dream the other night.
Okay, go.
Yeah. I think the same, maybe Sunday night or Saturday night. It was the same night that I think Fred had his weird dream.
What'd you guys eat?
So
it could be that Harry Buffalo place.
So we end up, we were like just regular day. And all of a sudden, the owner, always like, had no problem. Like, he knew we were out there. He had no kids. He was an older guy. He had no problem. All of a sudden, they had sold the house and there's new owners. So we're in the back. All of a sudden, a woman comes out and says, "You guys got to get out of here. You know, this is, you know, I don't know. This is a new house." Then her husband comes out. Who's the husband?
Bill Belichick.
Bill Belichick. And he knew me. Paul.
But you were 14.
Yeah. Paul. You can't.
What are you doing?
Going back to the 40s, Paul.
And just completely out of the blue. I don't know what does that mean.
So I'm what happened after he came out?
Just we left.
That was it.
Yeah,
it's but sort of symbolic.
He didn't yell at us. He wasn't angry. He was just like basically what you said, Fred. He was like, "Paul, What are you guys doing? You guys can't be
so
here.
Basically, what you're saying is something that you used to have a good time with, you can't anymore. It's been taken away from you.
AKA and, the Patriots are the garage.
Okay.
You know?
And Belichick is responsible for
yes.
this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Going back to the 40s, it's Paul. Just
we're pretty good at this. Emailers, send in your dreams and we'll break them down.
That's a very odd dream to me. I don't know.
That is odd.
Now, we'll forget it.
What?
It was? Okay, that's what I was going to ask.
I left that part out
on
purpose.
I'm glad we're not having this segment with Eric here.
I think it's okay, Paul. I know we didn't discuss what we just discussed, but it's in press releases, right?
There might be like assless chaps and stuff involved.
Yeah, Paul is not like that. Oh, Eric. Yeah. Eric's like, Eric? I have this dream where I always go in the back door, and it's weird.
Please leave me alone, Eric. My bottom is really sore.
Every time I get home from a long day of school, and I try to get in the front door, and the front door's locked, and I have to go around the back. It's
weird. But I kind of like going in the back door. It seems appropriate somehow.
Okay. webradio at patriots.com is the email address. Preston from Brockton. All right. I won't hit the panic button yet, but what the hell's going on? First off, I believe you guys should have a show for Monday instead of Tuesday for the simple fact that when we lose on Sunday, I can't stand to listen to EEI's Dennis and Callahan. They sit there and babble on about nothing pertaining to the fact that we got our asses whipped. I feel like quoting Fred and saying, screw the Sox, let's talk some football. I hate having to sit here and wait until Tuesday to hear what you guys have to say about this bull you-know-what. That happens Sunday. You guys are my favorite show, and I can't wait to hear what Andy and Fred have to say about this because they are the most emotional when it comes to describing the Patriots, whether it's positive or negative criticism. Please help me feel at ease about this terrible loss. I will be listening. Well, I'm telling you, like I said when I first started.
Preston.
What?
Preston is his name, not Jackson. That's my son.
Presto. You know, when I start, I can't give you a pep talk. I'm very upset about this game. Now, I'm having a unlike the people on the blog during the game, I haven't given up on the season, but I'm very upset about this game.
One loss is a three-game losing streak.
Particularly about the way that they made me look.
But the issue is you should be happy it's a trap game, because the implication in the trap game is it's a one-time event that the forces all came together.
Right.
You were rolling
we hope it's just
a
that.
Lesser team with a bye that has some talent that fight, you know, everything came together. You should, and the other good thing is, better or worse, and for better this week, this team has played to the level of its competition for the most part this year.
Yep.
And they face a 6-2 football team on the road this season. Everybody in PFW, except for, I guess, B-Low, picked the Steelers to win, and Eric, who I don't know how he picked the Patriots. He deemed everything sucky about them about 3 months ago. But basically, everybody's picking the Steelers. There'll be a lot of Steeler praise this week against the Pit. You can't do it, road, blah, blah, blah. They're back to their spot. You know, this is a one game. We move on.
Good.
By the way, didn't 2 weeks ago, when we were talking about the schedule ahead, you were all worked up about the Browns? During their bye week, we were Viking week.
Yeah.
You were like, they're a good solid football team. They were coming off the Saints victory, and you were talking them up.
Right. I was.
So now where do you feel? Did they lay an egg? Did the Patriots lose, or did they get beat?
It's a combination of both. Look, I don't think that you should, take anything away from the Browns. They've played tough this game. They played tough against the Saints. Their defense, like I said, has been playing well. But there is nothing about that offense, I think, that should have done what they did against the Patriots. And I think, I just can't think that the Patriots should have been beaten the way they got beat.
Well, they shouldn't.
I could stomach losing in Cleveland. It's just, I can't stomach the way that they lost. I can't, it's just
the
unacceptable.
Whooping. The whooping bothered you a little bit.
You know how the Patriots looked the whole game? How the Vikings looked in the fourth quarter last week. They had given up. Ben Jarvis Green Ellis just ran it down their throat. That's the way the Patriots looked the whole game. And it's nauseating.
Yeah, I mean, I guess one of the things, and we talked about it on the TV show earlier, one of the things for a pep talk, I don't think you can expect to get the ball run down your throat like that very often. I don't think it's happened a lot to this team. And generally, it doesn't happen back-to-back multiple times. But the flip side of that is they were 31st in the league against the pass, and that wasn't a fluke because you saw an extremely limited passing game the other day get whatever it wanted. I mean, it literally got whatever it wanted.
Well, I think the Patriots are so, you know, oh, my God, we can't stop the run. I think it screwed them up. They were so, you know, and nothing that.
But there were some long yarded situations that the Browns converted.
Right. Oh, yeah.
You know, they had 10 first downs by pass, and half of those came on third down, I think.
They were so, in disarray.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't just Peyton Hillis, although I don't think much of the other stuff happens without Peyton Hillis.
Right.
I do, you know, I give them credit for the first play of the game. You know, pushing the ball downfield against the secondary that has allowed that pass more often this year than it hasn't.
Let's see. Dana, the tree counter in Colorado.
How's the count?
Says, how's the
hanging? 722,704,000
Just wondering.
Now I got to start again.
Just wondering when Eric's going to work out for the team since we need a kicker.
We do need a kicker. This would be his opportunity. Trouble is, he stinks.
So.
You know, if this hadn't. Remember the whole Gostowski bet and Eric actually went to the local high school and kicked a couple? If that hadn't happened, you know, in his mind, he's thinking, I could do it. I could come off the bench if I had to. But I think that was a humbling experience where he realized he either never had it or still doesn't have it. He couldn't kick a PAT.
Could you?
Me?
I could.
Consistently?
Yeah.
Or once?
Consistently.
No.
I could.
No, you couldn't.
Yes, I could.
No, you couldn't.
Kamani says, the loss over the weekend is a classic example of a team feeling good about themselves and just not showing up. I'm not angry at the loss. I think this might be a good sign. The Pats are feeling so good about their team, chemistry, whatever, that they came out a little euphoric or complacent against an average team, and they got beat bad. Now I feel that they'll be on their game for the rest of the season. Well, that's what we're hoping. That's the hope.
Yeah, I'm not sure I buy it. Because this isn't, to me, it was a team-wide thing, but it's a team-wide thing that had its seeds in individuality.
Well, plus, don't you think that if Belichick thought that there was any chance of this team, you know, being overconfident against a Mangini team, he would have nipped that in the bud?
I think he tried. That's why I said I think it has nothing to do with Bill Belichick. I think this is the inner workings of young players, their drive, their mentality, their confidence, their cockiness.
But my
examples I used and continue to use are Aaron Hernandez and Jermaine Cunningham. Those guys had endless success at Florida. They get into the NFL where it's supposed to be harder and they're on a rebuilding New England team that's turning the roster over and young. And, oh, well, we're 6-1, and we're the best team in the NFL. This is what football is. I'm always the best. My team is always the best. It's just the way that it works. I think that seeps in. I don't think you try to let it seep in, and coaches tell you not to. You know, it is what it is. And it comes from the individual, and then that breeds the team as how each of them handle it.
It's true.
And they obviously didn't
handle
it.
But it's not supposed to happen on this team.
Especially after you said on TV it won't happen.
But it does. And it happens to every team. But it's not because of bad coaching.
No.
It's not because Bill didn't have them prepared. And it's not because Bill didn't warn them against these, you know, these pitfalls. It's that they didn't adhere to it. And they didn't.
Interesting aspect.
Do you really think Brad Childress went into that game against Arizona and said, don't worry about these guys today? I mean, he's as bad a coach as there is right now.
He's a bad coach.
But you know what? Everybody's susceptible to it.
Interesting we bring up the coaching because we got at least one, maybe two Ask PFWs that noted generally when Bill has one of those post-bad game press conferences, he says we got out-coached and outplayed today. Did not say we got out-coached in Cleveland. He actually said it on Monday, his post-dump whatever one, but Mortem is supposed to be in there.
Right.
Did he just not say it, or was it a message of we didn't get outcoached?
No.
We were ready as a coaching staff with a game plan. The players laid an egg.
Yeah, but whether or not you think it was outcoached, you got to give credit not only to the players on Cleveland, but the coaches from Brad Seeley to Eric Mangini
to
Brian Daboll.
Coincidence that Bill didn't say we got outcoached.
No, I think that he had a hard time getting himself.
Oh, so
to
it's
say
just because I can't say it about Mangini.
I can't say it. Yeah, okay. I think you know after 24 hours he was a little bit. But, no, those...
Now, he did say we got beat in everything you can measure.
Right.
You can put anything in there or whatever.
Now, you can take this for what it's worth. Maybe it's just a veteran player having the back of his coach. But Algie Crumpler said nothing that Cleveland did surprised us in any way. We prepared for everything we saw.
Not even the wraparound.
And we just
cribs.
Didn't hit. Well, I mean, obviously he's talking about offense against their defense. He said we just didn't handle it. We didn't execute. You know, the coaches can only do so much, I think was how he put it. They put us out there. We have to do it. And the coaches can only do so much.
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe he's just playing the role of a good, solid
Captain,
veteran leader.
Captain Crump.
Yeah, but every coaching move you could, you know, measure seemed to be the right one.
I loved the way the Browns played that game.
Oh, yeah.
If I were a Browns
fan. Not kicking to Brandon Tate. You know, not giving Brady the chance to have pre-snap reads. You know,
I'm
at a loss.
No, really I think all the stuff you're talking about, Freddie, I think is dead on. That's all X's and O's. I just like the mentality he brought into the game. He said that we're not trying to pull an upset. He said we're trying to beat this team man for man. He came in the first play of the game. He pushes the ball downfield. Second play of the game, they get the big run. Then they, you know, later in, I think it was their second drive or their third drive after the touchdown off the kickoff is, you know, a fourth down from their own territory. It's like the 36, fourth and one from their own 36, was it, Andy?
Somewhere in there.
It was in their own territory. Yeah. I know that. And I looked at Fred. I said, well, we'll see if another guy wants to just punt it away. You know, I know on the chart it says you got to punt it here. You're in your own territory. And he came out and made it look like they were going to try to draw the Patriots offside. He emptied the backfield with a nice shift.
Yep.
There were 15 plus seconds on the play clock at the time, and I was thinking, oh, he's not going to snap it. And I think I said that out loud.
Yeah, you did.
I said he's not going to snap it. He's just trying to draw us offside. Next thing you know, he snaps it. I thought that was an outstanding play. And again, if it doesn't work, maybe we're looking at it differently. No, I'm not. I just the aggressiveness. He didn't say, well, we got a 10-0 lead. What, you know, why don't we just play it safe and make them go 80? No, he said, screw that. I got my foot on their throat right now, and I'm going to try to end it. Unfortunately for him, I think it may have been the next play, if not two plays later, Peyton Hillis fumbled.
Right. And, you know, even.
Otherwise, it was going to be 17-0, and the lights would have been out early.
Even the play that Gostkowski mishandled on the kickoff, you know, and maybe this is giving the Browns too much credit, but if you're going to do a pop-up kick, you're going to kick it to a rookie. And maybe being a rookie, he'll screw it up. You know, I don't know.
You know what's
I
funny?
Mean, they moved it around because Conley had
went
two,
over,
Crumpler had two.
They went over to Crumpler, and Crumpler free caught one. You know who handled that the best? Conley.
Yeah.
Conley took two, caught
I'm
them
not
cleanly.
Sure I like him running them.
Caught
but,
them
but
cleanly
he did what he's supposed
and
to
got
do.
Straight up the field.
Right.
In the first sign of contact, he had two arms on the ball and went down.
Yeah. You know? That's
I mean,
all
Crumpler
you can do.
Called for a fair catch, Andy, with no one within 20 yards.
I'm not sure I want him taking contact.
Yeah, but what's he going to do?
Fumble.
No, but I'm saying once you have the ball.
Go down.
No. He had some space in front of him.
He got he lit up on one of
he
them.
He did
too.
Exactly
got
what he
got absolutely lit up by somebody. Got stoned.
I just thought it was surprising that the offensive lineman who's not used to
he's
having the ball in his hands
he's
looked the I thought the best. Crumpler fair caught one with no one anywhere near him.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
okay
now I understand you're trying to be safe, but oh, here's that play right now. Yeah, see, that ball was definitely going to Gronkowski. The defensive player dives in front of Gronk and deflects it. Of course, on the replay,
Patriots,
we don't
radio.
See it.
Patriots just signed Shane Graham.
Christ. Shane Graham.
So
because I
had
looked at my Twitter.
They didn't have there's no roster move? They
who's
had,
who's saying that? Mike Giardi?
ESPN's tweeting it.
So.
Okay, because they would have to have, in order to do that, they had to release somebody.
I don't believe I followed them.
You know.
If it's not Gostkowski on IR, I wonder what they're going to do.
Shane Graham. Well, you know, he's okay, I guess.
Those kickers, who, I mean, they're all fine. They're all veteran kickers. They can come in for a week or
to
two.
To me, unless there's
hasn't
a guy.
Hasn't he kicked for the Jets a couple times?
Yeah.
Like
Graham?
Duty? Yeah.
No, I think Graham is a Bengal. He's a Cincinnati Bengal.
Former Bengal, yeah.
No, who's? Oh, they did have a Graham. It was the.
Ben Graham.
Ben Graham, right.
Ben Dotha?
Yeah. let's see. Rob writes in, I was sitting on the throne, and I swear I heard the exact same sound as the end of the Pats game. Oh. I can't say I'm even close to as versed in football as you, but what stuck out in this game was that the Browns receivers seemed to be very open a lot of the time, while our receivers were well covered most of the game. Coy had a great completion percentage, and they took advantage of the yards they got. Danny Woodhead started to get things rolling, but it wasn't enough without productive receiving yards. They kept Law Firm pinned, but Hillis had a huge day. Was this a special matchup that exploited us, or a view of the Pats' weaknesses in general?
I knew what it was, Paul. He missed the two field goals against the Jets in the first round of the playoffs.
Oh, yeah, for the Bengals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why my brain was not working. Sorry. But Rappaport hasn't reported that they've made another roster move yet.
No, all the tweets are Shane Graham is going to sign with New England.
Right. Now everybody has to follow suit and say that, you know, even though whoever the first guy was it Schefter?
I don't know. There's a bunch of
them. They all have to make sure that they're letting their readers know that they can read Twitter.
Right.
Right, Fred?
Right.
I like that Freddie rant. That's a good media rant for you, Freddie. I like that.
Brett from Leominster says, since Matt from Brooklyn gets so much joy picking on Andy's ignorance, an easy target, I think you should at least get his facts straight. Tarzan is not an iconic American character. He was the son of a British lord and lady who was marooned on the west coast of Africa by mutineers. So he is as much an iconic American character as Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah, Matt from Brooklyn.
Good point. There
you go. I'm sure that was the stipulation that Andy was using.
Maybe that's why he only got 1,300 on his SATs.
Sam in Chicago, I have to say that I'm not worried. That was a typical blank-the-bed game. If this had been a close game, it would have been a heartbreak, but from the start, this was a throwaway game. Better to have this happen now and get it under the rookie's belt than this Sunday's game. This young team needed this wake-up call early in the season to keep the work ethic in front of the talent moving forward. Last Sunday's egg keeps them hungry. I'd be worried rolling into the next few games if they got complacent. They did. The Browns beat them. Now I expect the wins to return.
One flaw with that is you had tough games coming up. So I don't think they would have been complacent going into Pittsburgh. I don't think they would have been complacent. So now if you beat Cleveland and you're 7-1, if you muster up another one, now you're 8-2, saying you split Colts Steelers. Well, now you've set yourself up. So you're in the postseason picture. Regardless of rookie walls or late season whatevers. This, as some of your readers pointed out, if this suddenly turns into a three-game losing streak, now you're at 6-4, you're just in the mix. You're in a battle for your life every which way about it.
Look, I don't want to look too forward, but Patriots, let's say the Patriots are 7-3 going into the Lions. Trap game?
Depends if Matthew Stafford is able to come back. Now, there's a report today that says he might be done for the season,
right.
Which I might be willing. I don't know what the exact nature of the injury is, but if I were Detroit, I would seriously be considering shutting him down for the year to see if he can get him fully healthy, because clearly that's a pretty good football team when he plays.
Yeah, I don't think of it as a trap game. I just think that's a tough game because of the short week and the holiday and everything. I think it's a hard game to prepare for and be ready.
And you know,
and they are playing tough.
And they play
I just think
tough
it's a tough
against
schedule.
The Jets. You know,
they play tough against pretty much everybody.
They've been playing tough. I mean,
they have five losses by less than a touchdown.
They are like the Browns in that where they are playing tough for a Belichick assistant.
And I'll tell you, you know, we joked around about the kicking thing. I know they got a lot of attention on the decision to throw the ball at the end, but I think that point was a much bigger factor in that game. I mean, if they're up 4 instead of 3 at the end of that game. You know, obviously the Jets would have gone for 2 after their touchdown to see if they could have gotten within a field goal, but they may not have gotten it. That was a huge play.
Kevin, no calls today? Wow.
Good.
A lot of emails, but no. By the way, you guys did a bang-up
job
cleaning up
the studio.
The studio, Kevin.
Fred's struggling a little bit linguistically today.
It looks great.
It looks good.
Yeah, it really does look
good. Vacuumed and dusted in the whole 9 yards.
Right. Doc said, I think that's all stuff we need. I said 10 cans of tuna?
Tuna was one of the first things to go.
Plus the tuna, I don't even know if Phil told you.
What? It's expired.
The tuna's been here since Gary.
Oh, jeez.
It was Gary's tuna.
It had expired over a year ago.
Yeah. I canned food expires?
I didn't think so either.
But it had
I thought you put in bomb shelters and stuff.
Right.
Yeah, but.
Maybe it was one of those things where it's like best before.
Best by.
You know what I mean?
Might taste a little fishy after this date.
Oh.
You know, you're talking about the short week with Detroit and all that stuff.
Yeah.
No, we were talking about tuna.
Paul's determined to get it back to football.
We were talking about tuna.
No, but before you were talking about tuna, you were talking about the Lions and how the awkward nature of that game makes it a tough game.
Are you trying to bring us back to football again?
Andy had tuna for lunch today.
I did.
I'm sorry. Do you want me to not talk about it?
No, go ahead.
Go ahead, Paul.
Well, I was just mentioning that the Steelers, you know, will have a tough turnaround. They a road Monday night game heading into their another night game, by the way, their third primetime game in a row. And remember the toll that took on the Patriots back in 07 when they had to play all those primetime games, and they talked about it afterward how that was very draining on that season.
And I don't know if you guys caught the game last night. I watched pretty much the whole thing, but there were Steelers going down left and right.
There were a lot of injuries.
A lot of linemen.
Townsend came back. Harrison came back.
But they had a lot of like offensive line issues.
Well, that's their.
Well, they're not that good. Well, they're healthy.
That's the secondary and their offensive line are their weaknesses.
Well, their secondary is flat out awful,
except for Polamalu.
Yeah, but even he's not really good in pass coverage.
He's more
to
of
me.
A freaking linebacker.
That's just not a very good secondary. When they don't get they're in trouble. Yeah. And the offensive line has been a problem, and really was a problem when Pouncey
went out last night. Yeah, there's your first phone call.
See?
I wasn't necessarily asking.
Did you just say it got to the point, hey, there's your first phone call, not even finish your thought?
Well, I didn't want you to hear the phone ring.
Tom from Nova Scotia says, I told you not to underestimate Rex's twin and McCoy in my last email last week. Anyway, did you guys think it was curious that Belichick deviated from his usual losing script, omitting we got out coach? We talked about that. And by the way, why the F do you have to specify head coach of the New England Patriots every damn time? There are no other Belichicks that you could possibly be referring to.
I haven't written that in a story in 5 years.
Well, I don't know what he's talking about. On this show,
Eric
joke.
Writes Patriots head coach Bill Belichick almost every time he refers to him.
Yeah, that's true. I don't think in our paper you need to do that.
Certainly not in our paper.
Yeah.
So Patriots. In our paper, you could just call him Bill.
Yeah.
Or BB, which I thought meant Bill Belichick. Apparently means BlackBerry in the IT.
True. Scott in Huntington Beach. Oh, look at the two of you checking your Twitter during the show. Unbelievable.
I was talking about football, and I was being ignored, so I thought I would check out my BlackBerry.
By the way, Paul.
Really, Paul? We're going to become those guys, really?
Paul, Eric, and Andy got BlackBerries, Verizon. Just throw that in there.
Verizon, tremendous coverage, by the way, Fred. I haven't had one thing dropped yet.
So they got those, what, on Friday or Thursday?
Thursday, Friday.
So these guys have been hooked ever since. Now they're Twittering.
Yes,
they're
my wife's not happy.
Tweeting.
She was standing in front of me naked and was like, really, really?
Really?
I kind of like that girl in that commercial.
I do too. Because when she throws it, her boobies jiggle around nicely.
I like breasts.
I like
the guy in the urinal and he drops
it. Why can't I can't play any content. I'm trying to play a YouTube video of a trick play gone bad and it won't do it.
That could be Verizon. Sometimes the carrier will limit the size of the
file. Well, I take back the nice stuff I just said about Verizon. Mm. But can I get Wi-Fi? Do we have Wi-Fi down here? Can I do that?
No.
What?
Go up to the press box.
But just
the conference room.
To touch upon Paul's point about the injuries, Tomlin just kind of addressed a lot of the media today and said that three players suffered concussions last night. Will Allen, Mawelde Moore, and Isaac Redman.
I saw the Mawelde Moore one.
Yeah.
Roethlisberger just pointed to the sideline. Did you see that?
No.
He goes, go.
I'm happy. You know what that means.
So then Tomlin also said that center Maurice Pouncey, who returned after suffering a leg injury, has a tibia bruise. And also tight end Heath Miller has fluid on his knee. So a couple more.
Broken?
I'll bet you it's broken.
He played through it, though.
Yeah, I bet you they wrapped it up and he's
so
playing.
No, I think he's got a hernia.
He missed a long time.
No, he's just got a deep tibia
bruise. Hey. Chad Ochocinco says, anybody else have struggles at the workplace or is it just in my profession? If you do struggle in your workplace, how do you stay focused?
Wow. Oh, can I reply to that? How do I do that?
Yeah, he's a T.O. is the one carrying that offense right now.
I've
it's
never
not
sent a tweet.
Chad
never will.
Ochocinco.
Retweet his tweet.
No, I don't send tweets. I like tweets.
You're not a Tweety bird?
I don't send them.
Let's see. Scott in Huntington Beach.
What is that?
Really enjoy the show. You guys keep me entertained and help keep my sales down. Anyway, please help clear something up for me. While I'm happy Wes Welker made the extra point for us and it was entertaining watching Sue's attempt in Detroit, I got to ask, do you think Sue or Welker has a better chance than Mesko or whoever Detroit's punter is? With Mesko's leg, I just think he should be able to do it. Is kicking and punting really that much different? Can't these guys be prepared to multitask? I mean, come on. What do they do all day at practice? Kicking balls, right?
Well, part of the problem is Mesko's the holder.
The holder, yeah.
So you'd have to change two very specialized jobs.
Right.
And that kick by Sue wasn't, I mean, it was a little wide.
The kick by Sue
was
excellent.
Power behind it.
Yeah. It was, I mean,
well, there should be.
Actually.
And it was a lot higher than Welker's
kick. It was
a
better kick. Yeah. I mean, it just didn't go, I know that sounds stupid, but He's a soccer player.
Mr. Win-based formula for comparing teams doesn't take into account whether a kick is good or not to say which one's better?
I'm saying there was nothing that he kicked on that to show me that that was a bad decision by Schwartz. Again, it's all about the result. That tells you whether or not it's a good decision or not. He kicked it like he's kicked it before. Let's put it that way. And he's their second kicker. Bill talked about it yesterday. That's what they do. I mean, Wes.
Yeah, but Wes said, I haven't practiced it in years.
I haven't practiced it, but that's.
Shouldn't get a rep every
That's how they know what to do. And Bill talked about your thing with Mesko as the holder.
No, I know. That disrupts
the entire operation.
But in a guy that we praise for leaving no stone unturned, shouldn't Welker get one kick a month or something just to stay.
Scott O'Brien
ready?
Tells Belichick, yeah, West practiced today.
I'm being kind of serious. If it was they lost a game because Welker missed a kick and it was a different coach, Bill wouldn't get it. But
see,
if you're Brad Childress and Welker goes, yeah, I've been listed as the backup kicker, but I haven't taken a kick in 3 years.
Yeah,
I think
that's the kind of stuff that I think
I don't know.
Is exaggerated
kind of
a little bit.
See, I think he should try kicks.
I think he does.
Well, he lied.
I just think that.
So you're calling Wes Welker a liar?
Nah, but not really a liar. It's like Fred always
sports
says.
Lie. Sports lie. Your two choices are blank
it's a white
and liar.
Lie.
The other word rhymes with bad.
A white lie.
Yeah, I just think he was exaggerating. Like, I can't remember the last time I tried it. It may have been August.
We all know.
You know what I mean?
It
may have been concussed.
I think that's what he said. I can't remember the last time I've kicked.
Yeah.
And he did do it.
But it may have been September. Do you know what I mean?
Well, no, he's. Do you remember the last time you practiced? No, never. Or something. He said never. Never was in there.
Well, whatever. Larry the Drunk writes, he says, hey, guys, it might have been my comment on curse words about us hitting a three-game losing streak. I was angry. I actually got to the point where I was hitting my two-seater so hard I broke the armrest. Come on, the Cleveland Browns, Pee Wee football teams have better uniforms. I give Hillis his dues.
Like
he played really well, but in fairness, he's a big boy. He's only going one direction. Like, I think I got sick when I saw Merriweather trying to tackle him. It was like a Jack Russell humping a Doberman's leg. I think the major concern was the fact that the Browns didn't bother rushing Brady. They just said, hey, we're good. We're going to put 8-9 guys in coverage. Your receivers aren't good enough to get open. And even when they do, they can't hold on to it. Example being Brady nailing tape right in the numbers and then dropping it. I think Tom still drops back saying, where are you, Randy? And then remembering he ain't around, seeing Welker with two guys on him, dropping an F-bomb and throwing it into the dirt. I'm edgy, guys. Real edgy.
The way Fred reads them.
We'll stick to it till the death, but this could turn south real fast.
Rather than the Jack Terrier reference, this was a Paul Nantucket sleigh ride game.
There were so many Nantucket sleigh rides in this game that Eric and I lost count.
I mean, and good players, as I said, Will Fork and Mayo and some of your better players were
Spikes.
Involved.
Spikes.
Spikes. Although they still had their 1-2, 10 tackles, 8 or whatever they did in the
statue. Spikes was irrelevant in that game. Mayo, I saw chasing down plays.
Latched onto the back of Hillis trying to get him to go down.
I didn't say he played really well.
There was one. It was like a 9-yard sleigh ride.
Spikes.
I saw Will Fork get run through.
Yeah, no question. That was the worst play of the game, I thought. He took your all-pro nose tackle and said, get the bleep out of my way.
Right.
Did you see some of the quotes from the linemen?
Which
basically, they said that we targeted Mayo. Mayo making all the tackles. 55 is a run to the ball guy. He just runs around and gets to the ball. So we kind of use that aggressiveness against them.
Mm-hmm.
And we just block. We try to block Mayo and we let 55 run around. And he didn't make any tackles.
One of those terms I'll add to my list. He's a run to the ball guy, and that was clearly a negative connotation.
Run around guy.
Well,
he's a run around guy.
As Parcells used to say, dog chasing cars.
Well, if he's chasing the ball, I'm okay with it.
Derek from the University of Arizona is on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Derek.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, Derek.
Hey, I was just kind of curious. I don't know if you guys have touched on it, but you've gotten a few emails saying that, you know, it's kind of okay that they dropped this game. And
oh, we've gotten a lot of emails like that. I don't get it.
Yeah, and the one thing I'd like to just, like, bring up, and if you guys brought it up, I apologize. I kind of tuned in a little late, was that, you know, confidence is so important in the NFL with players and teams. And you know, my really big concern of the weekend was if they lose this game, which they did, now they go on the road to Pittsburgh. If they go on like a 2-game losing streak, and they have to play the a team like the Colts at home, you know, I think that could really like shake them up. And we saw how important confidence is with like Darius Butler. But I just want to see what you guys thought about that.
Confidence is a big part of the game.
That's the fear.
Yeah, I mean, in momentum sometimes.
Andy's been talking a lot about the young guys, and how the trap may have affected some of the young guys because they just got out of college where they were used to winning every week, and they've been winning every week here, and they just think, well, that's the way it is. We're going to win. This is how it's supposed to be. Well, that works the other way, too. If you lose a couple, Derek, I think you're right. I think if all of a sudden your confidence can get shaken with a three-game losing streak, to quote, was it Larry that said they're going to lose three in a row, at 6-4, do you feel the same? Because it'd be tough with these same guys and wondering what their confidence level would be like.
And the term gut check has been thrown around, and I really don't like that because it's not like this is a veteran-laden team of like the past. You know what I mean? There's a big compilation of first and second-year players. You got about half the roster that. It's not like in 07 where, I mean, you know, some people made the case that if they had lost the game, you know, maybe it would have, you know, right. gave them a the whole theory of if they lost the game in the regular season, it might have propelled them.
Get it out of the way.
You know,
it's
never. You know, yeah, you just got it out of the way.
It's never good to lose.
I don't see it the same way with this team. Yeah. You know, I just don't think that, you know, a loss can really help them, especially one where, you know, a lot of players, you know, if they do this, they tend to win games just like the fans do. And I felt they got beaten every facet of the game, and you couldn't count the number of good plays on or one hand. I really couldn't think of someone who had a really good game. I mean, maybe Danny Woodhead and Aaron Hernandez, but that's pretty much it.
Well, like Paul said, Will Hite had a couple good plays, you know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Oh,
Woodhead was
fine,
but even Hernandez had a drop. I don't ever like losing games, and particularly the way that it happened. I don't see how you can really take much positive out of it. And
no,
I know
really,
that, you know,
really
listen, part of being a fan is putting losses behind you and waiting for the next game and believing that you're going to win. And that's, I think that's exactly the way we all look at it. And I said to you, and we filmed the TV show earlier, Fred, I said, I'm not worried at all about the run defense because I think that was an aberration. Now, we'll find out. I might be wrong. I might be whistling past the graveyard here. But that's fine. But there's nothing good. It wasn't good to give up 200-plus yards on the ground, that's for sure.
All right, good call, Derek, from University of Arizona. Chris with a TIAN says, wow, didn't see that coming. Oh, well, every team lays a stinker from time to time. I will be concerned if we see the same lack of effort this week. Until then, I chalk it up to just a bad game. Mm-hmm. While the overall lack of effort and execution on both sides of the ball was disturbing, I was more troubled by the offense. Hear me out. I expected the defense to have days like this. I think we all did. We are now in week 6 of the post-Moss era, and guys are having a hell of a time getting open. I still would not want Moss back, but I expected that we would start to see some clicking on offense, and it's actually getting worse. What do you think?
I agree.
I think it is getting worse. I wonder if Branch is healthy.
He's not.
You know? So I think that's part of the problem. Welker's clearly fighting it.
Well, you said that Welker was really upset.
Yeah, he was. I talked to him for a while after the game, and I can throw the ESPN thing out there, Andy, because it was just me and him. So I feel like I'm comfortable by saying I talked to him.
I don't know. That sounds a little.
He had mentioned just getting off the line, he said, I have to do a better job of fighting through the coverage and getting off the line and getting into areas where I make myself available for Tom. And, you know, again, much like when Crumpler said this stuff about the coaching, there's an element of a veteran taking responsibility that's admirable. And, you know, does he honestly think it's all about him? Probably not. But I do think that he's struggling getting off the line of scrimmage, beating press coverage. And, Andy, you mentioned in watching the game on TV, you know, how much you saw him getting the brackets, the two guys.
Over, under.
And he's not used to that. He's faced double teams in the past, but not consistently like he is now.
Usually when he beats his guy, he's beating his guy. He's now open. He's going to get the ball. Then he's got 7 yards
to run. And now he's got space.
Run.
Yeah.
Now
he's not even in space.
I beat the first guy, there's a second guy. Even if I catch it, there's a guy or two coming at me to make the tackle right when I catch it.
And throw that all together and add in his knee injury.
Right.
And his, you know, probably less effectiveness cutting.
And the brace.
Moving, yeah, and all
just
that
Just the
stuff.
Brace. You can't physically do the things with that brace that you can do without the brace. It's limiting. It's why you don't see a lot of athletes. You know, all the college linemen wear them, but they're not giving them to running backs and anybody with any athleticism because it limits you in a way.
Now, there were reports before the game that he went to a thinner brace.
I didn't notice. No, I didn't know. I didn't see the reports, and I didn't notice the brace. But, yeah, I mean, maybe. Another thing about the loss, the whole loss thing being good, which I don't like, It also, you talk about the confidence level of your team, but doesn't it also give other teams a little boost when they can say, hey, sure. You know what? Because don't you think in the back of some, you know, the teams like the Colts and the Steelers that have seen this team not always look so impressive physically. But, hey, I've read this book before. That, you know, they don't look good, but at the end of the year, they're going to be 14-2 and have that number one seed. You know, and all of a sudden, you know, I didn't think they looked that great against San Diego. And there were times I thought Minnesota might have been the better team. But you know what? They're 6-1. And then they beat Cleveland, and they're 7-1. And now we got to play them. Well, now they just kind of got decimated. It wasn't like that Miami game in 04 where they lost, and they lost 29-28 in a completely fluky game where the Patriots made mistake after mistake, and they still almost won the game, probably should have won the game. This was not like that. This was not a game filled of mistakes as the reason why the Patriots lost. It wasn't close.
Glenn in Montana, in the second half, the commentator said something along the lines of, who better to have in this situation than Tom Brady? How about everyone? Wow. I'm as big a Tom Brady fan as anyone, but for a team that has been unable to get motivated when down and unable to close out a lot of games, who the hell else can you blame? He looked terrible all game, and he seemed to give up as much as anyone else. If he's the Joe Montana of this time, he should be able to pull off late-game heroics. I'd like to hear the stats on fourth quarter, or even second half, for that matter, comebacks in recent years. I don't remember too many. Also, I have a special request for an intro, the Slammin' Salmon. If you haven't seen it, you are missing out. It's full of great one-liners. Never before has the term meat drapes been so well... Oh, I know what those are. That's terrible.
And you're supposed to come to that realization before you say it.
I enjoy listening to the banter, but for the record, the AK-47 show was a nice change of pace since they meshed well without the big arguments. It was truly a regular love fest.
No, I'm not going to read the email that you're furiously pointing to, Kevin. Just because somebody said, oh, now there's 105 people on the Facebook page following us.
Well, that email just came in, or didn't just came in. But
it was a terrible email. The second paragraph, after he praises the show, which is fine.
Brendan from Fitchburg.
Second paragraph pits the entire loss on Rob Gronkowski. The entirety of the loss, Rob Gronkowski's fault. Well, he actually calls the screw-up on the kickoff a 14-point differential. So now we're assuming if he catches the kickoff, they're going to go 70 and score.
That's quite a stretch.
I mean, really? Really? That's what we're going to do here?
Especially seeing how the rest of the game went and the Patriots offense couldn't move the ball, to assume that they would have scored on that drive.
But more importantly, 105 friends on the AK-47.
Yes, which PFW group has 276 on Facebook. So not too bad for a show that A, doesn't exist, and B, is
only
around
thing
a
is
week.
The 105 that are those are on friends both. Are,
no,
are already
no,
on
no
ours.
Doubt, no doubt. But a show is that a large portion of the PFW, you know. Migrated with Andy down the dial.
I want to run an experiment.
I don't, if it involves me doing another AK-47 show.
I want to take the Andy Hart name off the AK-47 show and then see how many friends it has. Yeah.
You can't just have the K-47 show.
Because that'd be gay, and no one likes you. Oh, that wasn't very nice, was it? That one hurt a little bit right here.
See, I didn't have to get mean like that. He gets mean.
I do want to talk about another one of my binkies. A few of my binkies had up and down days. And a guy that's not really my binky because he doesn't talk to me because he doesn't really talk. Jermaine Cunningham, I thought, had come on in recent weeks a little bit, setting the edge. Apparently didn't against the Browns. Well, nobody did, but he was part of the problem, not the answer, and got replaced by Banta Kane and all that. I want to give him credit on the Chauncey Stuckey. Chauncey?
I like to call him Chauncey, but I was told today that I should do a retake because I called him Chauncey.
What do you mean? Chauncey?
Chauncey, I guess.
Chauncey Stuckey's. Wildcat, hide the ball, touchdown. He, from the very first, as soon as the line came out of the huddle, was pointing at Stuckey and yelling and tried to run the ball down from the backside. He's from the backside, and B, he's not nearly as fast.
Backside.
So I thought he had an up and down day, and obviously James Sanders had a bit of a down day after getting hurdled by a big fat dude. But the bottom line is, You couldn't find anybody that I'd be willing to say had a good game.
Certainly
nobody.
No one involved in
the Patriots.
In tackling.
No one involved in the Patriots.
Had a good day.
My analysis wasn't great. Paul's game story was a bit down. Fred's edit letter, not good.
Mish from Edinburgh. That's no normal. Doubt it was tough to watch Sunday. If there's a silver lining here, it's what Paul was alluding
to. Burrow.
Edinburgh, yeah.
If there's a silver lining here, it's what Paul was alluding to in the blog last week. Some of these rookies may not understand getting beaten up and embarrassed and potentially how to prevent
when
it going
Paul
forward.
When did Paul blog last week?
Pretty sure that was Andy, right?
Hopefully
go back
they
to
got,
Edinburgh and open your eyes.
Hopefully they got beaten up enough to realize they can't coast in this league.
Did you write that?
One of my six-pack points was about the trap and everything.
Yeah, that was I got to credit Andy with
actually,
that.
Actually, it was point one, trappings of success, I believe.
My question is relating to kickoffs. We're seeing more and more across the league this shorter angled kickoff. Typically, it lands in the hands of a bigger guy with the very little risk of a big return. I'd be interested to know what you guys think is the way to counter this, besides the obvious not letting it hit the ground. Perhaps it'll become necessary to add a second returner and have them split the field.
Well, a lot of teams have two returners, including your New England
and
Patriots.
And the Patriots do as well.
Is this a league-wide trend?
I haven't seen enough to know. I've seen a hell of a lot of kick returns this year.
Well,
I'll tell you that.
And with maybe all the changes that they've made.
To the lead returner.
No, I know, but I'm wondering,
just
in a lot of these games that we don't watch, are guys taking one back and then they're pooching it up a couple times afterwards?
That could be. We saw Spurlock on a kind of a squib take one back the other day for Tampa Bay. And then Stevens Howling had one.
Changes in blocking on special teams and lack of depth.
You know what's funny? The changes in blocking seem to have helped the returners.
Right. You took away the wedge and they're better.
Yeah. Did we figure that to be the case before it happened?
No. I remember the coaches, Bill and O'Brien, kind of poo-pooed that it wouldn't be that big a deal in general.
I remember that.
So I don't recall them saying, actually, you watch, we're going to have a lot more.
There are a lot of kick returns for touchdowns this year, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, but that might be just because there's crappy players in the
league. We should also talk about the kickoff because, and this is not defending Andy's binky, Gronkowski, but he said after the game it was miscommunication. That can't happen.
Right.
He took the responsibility for it. Andy and I both kind of got the impression that the miscommunication was that he put the fair catch up there and was called off. And Sammy Morris came over and then didn't catch the ball.
Right.
And then, by the way, should have easily recovered it and wasn't able to recover it. That was our view from afar without knowing anything about the play. But then I heard Troy Brown talk about this yesterday, and he basically put it all on Sammy Morris. Now, for an ex-player who kind of, especially one that's been on the field in that role, back as one of those guys on the kick return like that, like with Sammy Morris is, not usually the primary returner, usually that secondary guy. Troy Brown was that a lot.
Yeah.
He would know. So I think that Gronkowski is being unfairly blamed for that
Plus,
there's no defending the fumble at the goal line. But
Bruschi also wrote about this, and he said that once you call for a fair catch, it doesn't matter what else you hear. You got to make that catch.
You're a rookie, and Sammy Morris is saying, I got it. You don't get out of the way?
He said the same thing happened to him when he was a rookie, and he basically thought that because of his screw-up, he lost the game. I forget which game he was talking about, Bruschi. He said he kept the newspaper article that blamed him and used it as motivation for the next 10 years. But he said he did basically the same thing Gronkowski did.
I just think if the veteran comes screaming in calling you off, your natural instinct is
for what reason? You've already made the. He's not like he can run it because.
Well, he can run it, A, because he's a returner. He's a kick returner.
But the fair catch has already
been made. Once Gronkowski calls for a fair catch, I don't think
he can
return
it.
No one can.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's a dead ball.
But the bigger issue is he's the returner.
Right.
He's the returner.
Now, there's
a kick returner. One of your two kick returners, guys who that's the name of their job, is calling you off.
Yeah.
I let them return the kick.
There's a chance.
In that case, absolutely.
There's a chance that Sammy Morris wasn't aware that Gronkowski had called for a fair catch.
But even then, whether he can return it or not, I'll take the penalty if he even returns it and didn't know he called whatever. Catch the ball,
Sammy
Morris.
My first thought was Gronkowski called a fair catch and being a rookie, figured I'll let it bounce. I've already called a fair, like a punt, which you can't do on a kickoff, obviously. And that's what I was thinking.
I didn't think
that. Dropping the pop-up trying to get a double play?
My initial thought was, I can't believe he called for a fair catch and didn't catch it. But
in
watching
the
replay, there's no doubt in my mind he got called off.
Yeah.
Now, that's Sammy Morris's fault.
Yeah.
Now, if Bruschi might be right, maybe you're taught, if you call a fair catch, don't let anybody call you off. Just catch it.
Okay. Now, I want to remember that when Gronkowski calls for a fair catch, Morris calls him off. They collide because Morris runs full speed into him and the ball fumbles.
Well, that's clearly Morris's fault. You know?
See, no, I think you,
that's like the center field in baseball saying, I got it. And Mike Greenwell plows into him.
No, Mike Greenwell pulled, off because Rob Gronkowski.
Cause my favorite player was Ellis Burks and Greenwell was always putting
him
on the DL.
But you're missing the point. That's exactly what happened. Except Ellis Burks didn't catch the ball. Ellis Burks pulled off. Because Greenwell pulled off and
neither
the ball
one
bounced.
Of them. Neither one of them.
Gronkowski right there is the right fielder or the left fielder. He doesn't have the call. It's the returner's call.
Well, all right.
It's not his fault. Get off his back.
Warren writes, sorry, I know it looks unlikely after last week, but I'm a homer and I struggle to choose against the Pats. He says, we will beat the Steelers. The wide receiver, what the hell's going on in there?
He's laughing like he heard the funniest thing ever.
The wide receivers need to work hard this week on getting open because last week there were plenty of times when Brady had time and just didn't have anyone open. I'm going 28-20 Pats. Also last week I sent in an email saying Hernandez would get his first TD against the Browns, and I think we will get a handful more this season. I don't know if it was meant to be his first touchdown.
With an assist from Rob Gronkowski. Right? Yeah. He did.
So, I mean, Hernandez has been pretty steady. He did have a drop.
He's been fine. I think
he's been the most consistent offensive receiver, weapon.
I agree. So. He's been the most consistent player in the past.
Woodhead. You know, you got to throw him up there.
I'd give Hernandez more consistency.
Yeah, plus it's much tougher.
Right. Zach in Florida says, do you guys get more emails when we lose or when we win? Just curious. I think
when we lose.
Well, no, I'd say when we win. But in a game like this, we're getting a lot of emails now, so they just keep coming in.
I think people tend to want to articulate their things that they think are wrong more than that they think are right.
Right.
But I'll tell you, though, there's nothing.
Fred got a message, so hold on. Hold that thought.
No, there's nothing like a win for, you know, the traffic on Patriots.com and to the, you know, winning.
But
what drives the traffic? Just people.
To the pro shop to buy a shirt? Because you know what? They're good.
No,
I'm going to get a shirt.
Overall, if you're just talking numbers.
No, I know. But how do the numbers break down?
What do you mean break down?
Do they come and bitch when they lose to ask PFW
yeah, I know,
and
but
read
we,
the
we
stories.
Get, whatever the reason for coming, we get more people when they win than when they lose.
I think it's a bump in pro shop. People go decide they're going to buy a shirt.
It isn't.
It is. I'm going to go ask those people upstairs.
First of all, the pro shop is a separate site. It's not part of Patriots.com. It's PatriotsProShop.com. It's not part of Patriots.com.
There's a link on it.
It's a link. We also have a link to other things, but they're not the same website.
But don't people
separate websites?
Excuse me if I'm wrong here.
And links.
Oh, computer genius of the world. To get to the link on Patriots.com to the Pro Shop, they have to go to Patriots.com.
No, some do, but you can go directly
to Patriots. No one goes to PatriotsProShop.com. No one goes, you know what? I think there's a website where I'm going to order a jersey. It's called PatriotsProShop.com.
Actually, most people get there through Google.
No. They go to Patriots.com.
And my arguments are dumb.
John
in
South,
just checking.
John in South Carolina, this game was a turd. Yes, we did not play up to our potential, but did I or did I not see Hillis push Wolfork backwards?
Explode him backwards.
I deleted the game off my DVR, so I can't review the defensive line play. Did the Browns' offensive line beat our defensive line like Miami Wildcat game, or did they have a better plan? No, they just physical.
They beat him up the middle. They opened up holes. They cut him off on the edge to give him the edge.
I mean, except for that trick play, the Wildcat really didn't do much.
It sucked. It was like a yard.
Yeah. No, it was similar to the Miami game in that it was just blocks. You know, guys couldn't get off blocks. Right. They were getting beaten by blocks. The difference is the Miami game was full of big plays.
Right.
You know, Ronnie Brown, 60-yard touchdown, you know, pass to Fasano.
This was seven, five, seven, eight, 12, 16, nine, five.
Right.
Death by paper.
Now, what do we let's get a little bit of a Peyton Hillis.
So we're
what do you
all
think, Fred?
On the Patriots.
What do you think of Peyton Hillis?
I'd love to have him.
Long-term projection. You think he's a legit NFL
running back? Is he the guy that you thought Toby Gerhart was?
Well, I think here's the thing about Peyton Hillis. I think
is he a rich man's Toby Gerhart?
No, I think like unless they get help in the passing game, I think there will be games where he'll be able to be shut down.
Oh, of course he will.
You know, he's not like an Adrian Peterson where he's going to run for 1,600 yards a season. I just don't think so.
I don't know.
Well, this year, but I think teams are going to start game planning for him.
I agree with Fred.
You know?
I know.
I think this is the guy that we were talking about, Mike North.
Who are you pointing to?
I think that was the guy from Chicago.
You know, back in the day, John Riggins, you know, or Larry Zonka would have big games. But remember, they also had that, you know, Mercury Morris, and they also had, you know, a pretty good passing game to go along with that.
Well, don't compare, like, early 70s.
Right, and
to
in
now.
Those days, it was a lot different than it was now, you know, so.
No, I'm just asking, is he Christian Okoye? Is he Brandon Jacobs?
Is he Jerome
nobody?
Bettis? You know?
Well, he's like a Hall of Famer, isn't he?
Well, no, but that's what I'm saying. He's a big back that did it every game.
I think he's
game.
Faster than Jerome Bettis.
Yeah.
Well, he's faster than Jerome Bettis that you remember at the end.
No, I think he's
Jerome
faster Bettis than
Jerome Bettis when he
Bettis
was on the Rams.
I think he's faster than Jerome
he was
Bettis.
Pretty, he no. was pretty quick
Peyton
for
Hillis
a big dude.
Peyton Hillis is fast. I'd like to know what his 40 time is. He's fast.
Wow.
There's no doubt in my mind he's fast.
He's a tall guy, and he's got long strides. When he, you know.
He's fast.
Yeah. I'll tell you the other thing, and they didn't use him in this way a lot. He's a great receiver, too.
Yeah. He's a great athlete.
The route that he ran on Mayo was
he's
so
no Marcus
easy.
Dupree, but he's a big, strong.
I mean, he's a great example.
He looked like Kevin Falk. What Kevin Falk does to linebackers, he did to Mayo. And this is not critical of Mayo. He is that good.
Isn't it?
He's
well,
a great
he's not Patrick Willis. You can't expect him to go out on an island and cover a running
back. Fred, I did want to tell you, I happen to be scanning the tackle totals, and I like to just scan. I look across to see who has a lot of crooked numbers in the various columns, interceptions, sacks. Mayo, not only leading the NFL in tackles, but holding his own in the crooked number columns across
yep.
the board.
In the playmaking
you may be
columns.
Right. Based on what I've heard from opposing coaches and players, he may be an all-pro candidate very, very soon.
Listen to me a little bit more.
No, I won't.
He's not
because I still watch the games and see him making tackles 7 yards
he's
downfield.
He's not an all-pro
well,
candidate.
Somebody's
going to
make him.
He's a Pro Bowl candidate, that's for sure.
I'd rather he make him 3 yards
yeah,
downfield.
Yeah, so would I. But, you know, when you know, you're the only guy out there making tackles. And
wow. Now we're just Vince Wilfork, kick to the curb.
Well, I'm just saying. Sawyer from Waterloo. I just think Spikes has a way to go. He's got a ways to go.
Sure.
Oh, I totally
he's
agree
a rookie.
With that.
Yeah. Just like they all do. All those rookies.
I think he's very one. See, Mayo, I think, is a versatile guy.
Hey,
I might be a little critical of the playmaking ability, but he's a versatile guy that I've seen make plays in different ways. Not just against the run, not just
sure.
between the tackles. You know, pass out and Spikes to me is in the box run stopping
linebacker.
That's
what he
was drafted.
No disrespect to him. I'm just saying
he was drafted in the second round, not in the 10th overall pick, and that's why he's not a 3-down linebacker.
But yeah, I need one of you guys to do me a favor. Early in the season, Belichick was talking about Spikes, and he said, you know, there are some things that he does that are
yes.
unorthodox that
in camp.
I'm not going to change. I'm going to let him do it. I would like to find out if he will what some of those things are.
Is he letting them fail and then say, okay, now you did it your way and this is
well,
why you
that,
can't do it
but,
your way?
But I see a lot of times, like, instead of just taking on a block, he'll try to do a spin move at the line of scrimmage in the middle, you know, like, whereas Freeney does it on the edge, he's trying to do it in traffic. And a lot of times.
Against the run?
No, you know, when he's trying to get pressure on the quarterback. Okay.
It's never a good idea to do a spin move against the run.
But especially in traffic, because you're going to spin right into somebody else. And, you know, I wonder if that's some of the things that he does that are unorthodox. I'd just like to know what those things are.
I think he's been asked and didn't really say.
You know, I like Spikes. I think he's got a lot of promise, but, you know, he's got a ways to go before, you know, I can call he and Mayo a 1-2 punch.
Patriots down to three in, looks like, Tim Hasselbeck's power rankings.
Oh, Tim Hasselbeck has a power ranking now.
I don't know if they're ESPN's or they're just his.
Well, I'm waiting for Mary Tyler Moore to have a power ranking because that's the one I'm really interested in.
Why are you Steelers, so angry and bitter all the time?
I don't like the power rankings.
Steelers
I don't
still
like them
atop
either,
yours,
but they have
though?
Them.
What?
You still have the Steelers on top of your power ranking?
Yes.
Okay, just
how
checking.
About, how
I don't
about,
know. It should have been the Patriots last week, and you didn't.
How about the Jets not in the top five?
Disagree with that.
Anybody have any comments on that?
Yes,
that's
I think
bad.
If you're going to have a power rank, why
no,
would
you got
they
shut
do?
Out and you went down to the wire against the Lions?
But that's
I could
who
see
they
how
are.
Your bloom is off.
Their defense
that
is that good.
Bloom is off you.
Bloom is off the rose.
But they have the,
a
they have
bit
the
right
same
now.
Record as the Patriots, and they
it's
beat
not about
the
records. It's not about records. It's about team right now.
I disagree.
You
well,
got shut
okay.
out, and then
well,
you
they
went
haven't
down
lost.
The
okay, well then, based on right now, that's a very impressive track record. The Patriots.
It's a one game thing now. It's just a one game thing. Patriots were on a 5-game winning streak.
I'm with Kevin. I think it's about 6-2. They beat the Patriots.
So it's just the record. They're called standings. They're not
you,
called power rankings.
You're the
right,
one that
Fred?
Brought up. It's
about standings,
right now.
Not power
no,
rankings.
It is about who you beat.
You said it's
how
about right
them,
now. Who's it right
who
now?
You,
exactly.
How
and the Jets have been
you.
Unimpressive for 2 weeks in a row. The Patriots unimpressive for one. Thank you. No further questions. Your Honor, move on.
So, yeah, so wait a minute.
But
so,
I
don't
know.
You're
so,
your
but,
Honor.
No,
you don't talk.
So,
the Jets lost to the Packers.
Right, but only gave
and that's
up 9
same
points.
As and that's the
shut
same
out.
As losing to the Browns?
Shut
right.
out.
And only gave up 9 points against
shut
the Packers
out.
That have a good, you know,
shut
offense.
Out.
At home.
Shut out.
You know?
Shut out.
I've come to this new thing where if I just say the same word like six times, like, you guys just look at me in stunned silence.
He's like an instant.
That's because that's the sign.
I want
a child.
That's the sign that Fred and I know we want.
He's immature.
So we just stop.
Now, did Fred win on TV, national TV last week on All Access?
Oh, now it's national TV? I did
worldwide.
Win. The W is in my column. Yeah, it doesn't go away. But I was wrong.
The judge, an ex-player, was just as wrong as you.
I think most people didn't expect.
And unfortunately, I'm
going to
miss my opportunity to gloat about it and bring it up tomorrow because I won't be here.
Oh wait, who's
can
doing
you
it?
Gloat? Paul will probably do it.
What by the way, Paul? I saw the judge on TV this weekend
on ESPNU or whatever.
Yeah,
he did?
ESPN3.
Oh, was he doing the BC game?
He did the BC
How
game.
How did he do?
No comment.
Yeah,
you
no.
saw it?
I saw a little. The rerun was on yesterday. It was on Comcast. And I watched, and I was just clicking around, but then I heard his voice.
Yeah, that's
and the
same
voice
with me.
Was familiar to me, so I stopped. And I listened to him say a couple of things, and wasn't overly impressed.
Well, just so you know, as of Wednesday.
I know, he asked you how much you knew about Wake Forest.
As of Wednesday, he was
I
asking,
talked about
anybody
Wake
know
Forest
anybody at BC? Anybody? I got a
Is
game on Saturday.
Is there anything that you can't intelligently converse about?
No. Yeah. Yes. I'm a BC season ticket holder.
Radio production. He really struggles in that area.
Do you ever go to the games?
Yeah, when I'm not here.
Now, as a BC season ticket holder,
do you ever go to the games?
Are you required to know the spreads and the over-unders at all times?
Oh, yeah.
As a BC football enthusiast?
Are you required to hang out with Doug Flutie at all games?
I actually got my picture taken with him this year, though.
Figures. Did he grope you?
No.
I
towered above
him. You're
not
young enough.
Sawyer from Waterloo, Iowa.
What?
Is this thing on? Sawyer from Waterloo. I'm so happy that I got my PFW on Monday. Since I was at the Chargers game, it was nice to keep the issues from the game we attend. I also read in the preview that Randy Moss is doing well in Minnesota, and it looks like it is a match made in heaven.
That's not what you read in the preview.
I just hope we can get by, a different by than Eric is most associated with, the Vikings, and have an easy game with the Browns before having to gear up for the Steelers. Thanks for all your hard work, guys, and Eric. He's making fun.
Yeah.
Honestly, though, I'm happy to cheer for a team that is pissed about losing a game to go to 6-2, then cheer for a team that is so excited that they knock their assistant coaches over in celebration and give their head coaches a Gatorade bath when they win a game to go 3-5. Hear, hear, Josh.
There he is. He's back.
Hear,
an hour and 40 minutes.
Hear, hear.
I thought it would take till tomorrow. You were 20 minutes early. Good job, Freddie.
Brett from Orlando. Although I am upset they lost, I'm not surprised they lost to Cleveland, and I won't be surprised if they go into Pittsburgh and win. The way this season is going, with Dallas out already, Minnesota below 500, the Raiders above 500, the Chiefs and Rams leading their divisions, defensive linemen becoming kickers, and the Bills almost beating the Pats and Ravens on the road, there is almost nothing that can happen this year that will surprise me. I think the balance of this league this year makes it much more likely for a Super Bowl than what was expected before the season, and if you would have said 6-2 right now before the season, I would have taken that every day of the week and twice on Sunday. I don't care if they lose to the team they're supposed to beat or beat the team they're supposed to lose to. A win is always good and a loss is always bad, and I wouldn't be surprised if they won or lost to the Steelers and Colts. And I am a Pats fan, but the league as a whole is much more entertaining this year with no dominant teams.
Oh, really?
I agree with that entire email until the very last sentence. I think great teams are good for the league. I think there's certainly interest everywhere because it's the NFL. The interest is on the rise always. But I don't like the fact that there's not a team that you can identify. I think great teams are good for the sport, in any sport.
Yeah, I do too.
They're fun to watch.
It's not so much anymore. I think their day has gone. But I always thought it was good for college football for Notre Dame to be good.
Sure,
but now it's been so long since they have been.
And I understand your point, but as long as there's a dominant team, I don't really care who it is. That's a problem in college football right now, too.
Yeah,
because it's not a dominant team.
Well, and the dominant team may lose its quarterback.
Oh,
new story every day.
Getting worse and worse
for
him.
Cam Newton.
I told you, I hate when I get duped when I read features about guys that paint them out to be great guys, and I'm like, wow, that's a guy. There's a great story about him in Sports Illustrated like 2 weeks ago. Cam Newton. Now, evidently, it just appears it was all a bunch of fiction.
TJ and NJ, all I can say about the game is Belichick did a very good job coaching the other team's staff. Good point. A lot of emails coming in. A lot of emails.
So read them.
Webradiopages.com.
Matt and Corona, and that's California.
It's a beer.
What was the issue with the run defense against Cleveland? Was our defense just bad, or was their offensive line just creating the holes? How do you think we will fare against Mendenhall? Anything you take away from the Monday night game that the Patriots will try to exploit?
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, you can get to you can get
the Steelers offensive
Hall
line
is ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. You
the Steelers offensive line is not really good.
Yeah, I would run some games up front. I know the Patriots don't do a ton of that, but I feel like this year they've been doing a little bit more with a couple twists.
They've
and
been
stuff.
Blitzing a lot.
But I'm not even talking about
not
blitzing.
Not necessarily stunting.
I'm
but
talking
blitzing
about
a lot.
Twists where you know you swap gaps just to get a guard to take one false step with a guy. I think that opens up. And when an offensive line is being moved around like the Steelers are and a little banged up and also not that good, I think you can find openings there.
But there were a lot of situations last night where there are no openings, and Mendenhall made his own openings. Well, he was running around in circles.
Yeah, what did he end up with for yardage?
I'll have to look it up. But
it
was
one of the most impressive games that, you know, didn't produce eye-popping stats.
There was right. that one play when there were two Cincinnati defenders in the
Amazing.
Backfield. He made them run into each other.
You don't
other
need to tell me.
Came out the back door.
It was the best seven-yard run ever.
I am actually the
ever.
President yeah. of the Rashard Mendenhall
Highlight reel stuff.
He was very, very good. And no,
Mendenhall is ridiculous.
None more impressive than what should have been the game-ending drive when they took over after the Bengals made it 27-21, and I think they ran the ball six or seven times. No passes, just Rashard Mendenhall runs. He went from his own 25 or so to the Bengals' 25, and then they missed the field goal.
It was Peyton Hillis-like.
It should have been a field goal to end the game. It would have made it a nine-point game. The game would have been over, but, you know, and that's like the sixth field goal he's missed this year, by
he
the
had,
way.
He had 99 yards, so one short of 100, and he had a 4.5 yards per carry average.
Yeah, well, I guess his
one
statistics.
One short of 100, he has to tell us.
His statistics ended up a little bit better than I thought they were, even, but he was very, very good in that game.
He's
because
ridiculous.
Fred's right. The Bengals' defense made things tough on him all night.
Alex from Georgia, crappy game this weekend, but I don't think the Patriots were ready for the game, and it was a trap game. But I look for them to bounce back against Pittsburgh. Anyway, still on the bandwagon for more AK-47 shows. Let Andy do that show full-time with Kevin, and can you replace Andy with, you know, Brian Morey?
Ooh.
First of
Brian
all, Andy,
Morey
clearly,
with the special teamer.
Just
Andy
so you
is
know,
not
if
available.
That happened, if that happened, then you AK-47 show would become the flagship program of this.
Well,
this
absolutely,
radio
because well, I mean, the listeners might be happy with it, but I'd quit because there's no way I can
no,
handle
they
that.
Wouldn't be. They hate Brian Morey. Yeah, that was
the
idea.
Is that the guy you
I'm
hate?
Not sure
ball?
They're all fond of me either.
Is that
well,
the guy
that's
that,
true.
Is that
they
the guy that
you.
You didn't like? The guy that came in that
Brian?
One time?
Brian drives me insane.
Yeah, yeah, I'm just trying to figure out who he is. That's all.
I like him now because I talk to him once in a while, and I'm okay.
He runs the Hall of Patriot Plays.
He runs everything.
And what was he? Was he just like on the show all the time?
No, he was just in the area.
Oh, no,
I
he used to be
in.
The editor at PFW.
Oh, cool.
He drove people to teach.
Yeah. He had them leaving this place in droves.
He had people searching for new careers.
Let's see. Matt, Brooklyn Matt says, okay, Andy, you asked for dream comments. Here's Dr. Matt's dime store psychoanalysis on Fred's dream. Earlier,
okay.
Talked to you about my dream. He said, Fred, you getting on your hands and knees crawling through camera tripods has sexual undertones. Oh. Remember, according to Sigmund Freud, everything eventually leads back to being sex at its core. The tripod legs are spread apart, representing a very strong stance, equaling power. The cameras on top represent the all-seeing eye located where human genitalia would reside at the top of a widely spaced spread-out legs. Fred, you crawling in between all-seeing genitalia on top of strongly spaced-out leg represents your submissive and shameful sexual opinion you have of yourself. That'll be $100, please.
Well, no, if it's referencing tripods, it's all about men. Because, like, a man with a large schlong. People joke, oh, he's a tripod. Goes on tripod.
Andy, see what a 1330 SAT mind will get you. Just kidding, friend. I'm sure you're very, really confident of your sexuality. I just couldn't resist the dream analysis.
He's got a small penis and he's drunk a lot. That's why he's so angry. Fred is definitely confident in his sexuality. He makes right. certain comments that you would be well aware of that if you were around him enough.
Really, do I?
You know, when you see a girl, and you, you just start mumbling stuff in that gravelly.
He's trying to teach Eric.
Is that what I do?
Yeah, you do. You
he's
say
giving
these
Eric dating
pretty much
tips.
Growling comments of what you do to her. Like,
you do. It's uncomfortable.
It is. You used to, especially when you do it around like Lori or Petruni or those girls.
As usual, you take it a little bit too far.
I'll just walk right to HR when I get back.
We do go by it, which is convenient for you.
Gordon says, maybe you already covered this, but what is the stat for Bill Belichick coming off a loss during his time as a Patriots coach?
17-2. I don't know.
He's never lost ever.
And he never let his team fall into a trap game. Not once ever.
I mean, obviously, the Patriots haven't lost very many games, so they certainly haven't lost two in a row very often.
Stripper
was
says,
it 06 the last time?
I don't know, Paul.
Well, they can't. I mean, he's got a 700...
Yeah, overall. I mean, they don't lose. You know, it's like the whole thing they always say, you know, Brady is unbeatable on turf. But they don't lose anywhere.
0-1, 0-2,
I mean, the Patriots' numbers in the last decade are mind-boggling. They're so good.
1-4. 1-5, 1-6, 1-7, 1-8.
What are you talking about?
He's thinking aloud.
His record after a loss. I start in 2000. He was the coach of that team, right?
0-6, they lost back-to-back games. That's the last time I can remember.
He said, what's his record coming out of a loss?
Oh, well,
after a loss.
Okay.
What are you, the Patriots' PR? I disregard 2000. That doesn't count. He didn't coach that season.
I would disregard it because it wasn't his team, really. That was the team he inherited.
Well, he also inherited the Super Bowl championship team the year later.
Exactly.
But, yeah.
You want to do it?
No.
0-1 starting that season because he lost and then he lost again. He's terrible coming out of losses.
Stripper says there's an ESPN Insider article that explains why the offense misses Moss. After week 4, the Patriots ranked at the top of the league in our passing offense numbers. But then Moss got traded, and for the 5-week period since the trade, the Patriots are 14th, almost literally a middle-of-the-road team. And what about Welker? Welker is actually playing worse than your typical unemployed wideout right now. The tight ends are targeted more now without Moss, but catch the ball much less. So there's a whole Paul, you should have
Andy
a good time
would,
with Felker
Andy would
today.
Certainly agree with that.
I would, indeed. I never bought that the offense would be fine post-Moss, and I think you're seeing everything.
It will
I
be
said to Paul, Fred, you know what it's like? They're in the red zone all the time now. Everybody says it's harder in the red zone because everything's tighter and everything's squished together. That's where they are all the time on offense, 20 yards between
them. I just feel, despite the numbers, I don't think the passing offense was any great shakes this year, even with Moss. I think
it was significantly better than
it is now.
I
mean, look, statistically, it's obviously a lot better.
Well,
I don't think it looked as good.
Oh, I thought.
By the way, Hillis's 40 time, it was a 4.54.
It's a little slower than I thought. I expected a 4.51.
Andy has the trained eye. You can tell.
The eyeball test.
Chris also says he's from the some medical academy. He says trading Moss is probably the worst decision that Bill has made since becoming the Patriots head coach. Without Moss, Welker has become non-existent. Should have at least traded him after the season.
Going
it's too hard
fourth and 13.
For the offense to pick up the pieces halfway through the season. With Moss, we win the division. Now I don't think we're the best team in the AFC East. What do you think? I think you're all washed up, Chris. That's what I think.
I like the idea
it's going
to
be
6-2 to start the year. I'd be happy.
And that's how I feel.
I mean,
now,
I only had him winning 6 games all year.
The flip side of that is, and I don't like when coaches do it. Yeah, if you told me before the year 6-2, I'd be thrilled. If you told me we were going to be 6-1 going to Cleveland and we're going to be 6-2, I wouldn't have been thrilled.
After giving up
234 yards. Where do you think Jason LaConfora now has the Patriots on his power ranking?
Below his car stereo.
What?
Paul
was going to say.
Sorry, Paul. Go ahead. Start over, Fred. I'll pretend I didn't say it.
What do you think?
4.
No, don't look at my screen.
I can't see. Are you high?
6.
I say 4.
7.
7's a little low.
From 1?
Did he have him at 1?
Or was
he have
like
last
two?
Week there?
He didn't say where he was.
He doesn't have last week in parentheses or anything like that?
That's a big drop.
Number
for one
is Ravens. 2 are the Saints.
Now, have the Ravens been any more impressive than anybody else?
No.
Well,
but Red Reed's back and he has 3 picks in 2 games.
So why have they been why are they 6
won.
Points higher than the Patriots when the Patriots beat them?
Well, because you have to have somebody won. I agree with your premise that they haven't been any more impressive than anyone else, but you have to have a 1, a 2, and a 3.
Well, he's got.
Ranking.
But if the Patriots were 3 and the Ravens were 1, I wouldn't even bat
an eye. Just told me how embarrassing it was that they got beat on Sunday, and that it's about a single week, Paul. And based on the single week,
you said it was about a single week, not me. It's about the whole season for me.
You really get him mad when you change the argument. I see why you do it. It's fun.
you just completely. He's misrepresented.
It's very easy to get worked up. 0-0.
He's got Ravens at 1, Saints 2, Steelers 3.
Saints 2?
Yep.
Now that's getting me worked up.
Giants 4, Packers 5, Titans 6.
That's
Patriots
insane.
7, Jets 8, and then Eagles and Colts.
And you guys were mad that Jets weren't in the over there either. On who was that, Hasselbeck?
Yeah, he had them evidently just like that. But I don't understand. The Ravens, to
you
me.
Never know.
I,
we could just whack off.
Andrew in the Ukraine just woke up.
The Ravens are a good team. You know I
think
a lot of them. But
he thinks
they haven't been overly impressive so far.
They almost lost to the Bills after the Patriots.
We were wondering who might get cut to make room for a new kicker, and Andrew says that Terrence Wheatley is cut. Well, yeah,
thanks.
But that was already.
He's actually already on a new team.
Right.
Oh, is he?
That was yesterday. Yeah,
Jacksonville signed him.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Or is going to sign
him. I thought they were getting ready to sign him to the practice squad. after that dissertation on practice squads.
Yeah, where Bill said the league's not
always
right.
He got claimed by the Jags?
No. I believe he signed, unless I'm just
I heard they signed him to a two-year deal.
Well, he must have been claimed off of waivers, though.
He cleared waivers, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, okay.
Luke from Atlanta says it's not the end of the world. Everybody needs wake-up calls. Nearly halfway through the season, being called the best team in football clearly went to the players' heads. They're too young to feel good about themselves. They've got to stay hungry and stay humble so we don't have to hear about how practice sucked ever again. They got embarrassed, and I think it will only affect the team positively. I predict an emotional win over the Steelers to stun all the national press who flip-flop weekly and try to stay relevant. So...
See, yeah, I'll be stunned if they win this game on Sunday. That's just
I won't be stunned. I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Because I think they're underdogs. I'm picking Pittsburgh to win. But
so
I will not bat an eye if the Patriots go to Pittsburgh. They're going to have a week of people saying stuff like that, even though I haven't heard it yet.
Yeah.
I think
they have. They already have, Paul. They've heard it.
They figured out a way to hear that everybody doubts them now. When everybody is simply saying that they lost on Sunday.
See, I won't be shocked if they beat Indy just because of the fact that it's at home and Indy's with all their injuries.
Yeah, the injuries to me for Indy are the overwhelming factor. If they have a reasonable amount of personnel healthy for that game, I think Indy will come here and win.
But watching what Peyton Hillis did, then watching Mendenhall last night, I don't have much faith that.
Well, Mendenhall is not as powerful. He's pretty powerful, way more explosive.
Yeah. That's why I'm saying I'll be stunned if they beat
the
Steelers.
When he explodes on you,
just beyond.
Where does he explode on you?
It's tremendous.
Is there anything?
You're bathed in the glow.
Is there anything that one of your binkies could do that you would say he's not that impressive?
Well, off the field, not on the field.
Guys make mistakes. Barry, aka Chris Gokong from the Orange County, says
he was big, by the way. He was all over the field for that defense on Sunday.
Everybody was.
I didn't notice him once.
Oh yeah.
That's funny.
Oh yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of backup players, if the unthinkable were to happen and both Brady and Hoyer were out of a game, who would be the next quarterback? I imagine that the third quarterback would be Edelman. But
if I ever get to a Friday press conference, I've been meaning to ask Bill this question.
Do we know if he ever takes snaps in practice? Doesn't the emergency quarterback not count against the active 45-man roster? So we're kind of wasting that 46th spot by not having a third-string quarterback.
No, you don't have to declare an emergency quarterback, and the Patriots don't. So you're not wasting anything.
Right. The only time you would is if you actually have a third quarterback on the roster.
Right.
Just so in case of an emergency, he can.
So if Edelman is indeed the third quarterback, and I would assume that if both of those guys went down, that he would take the snaps. I don't know how you feel.
I don't know. He's not man enough for the position anymore.
He got raped of the ball by Eric Wright.
Steve has the ultimate conspiracy theory.
You're in the middle of it.
It just moves on.
Steve has the ultimate conspiracy theory. This is just a theory with little
evidence.
They
lost
to
on
back
purpose,
up,
I know.
But that goes without saying, seeing how closed off the Pats locker room is. But hear me out. Is there any chance that the Pats threw the game? The rookies weren't getting big heads, and Belichick knows they cannot sustain a team like that, especially against heavy hitters like the Steelers and the Colts. Also, the media was starting to discuss the Patriots more because of standing out in the league standings with only one loss. The Patriots lose nothing by losing the game and everything to win psychologically. Now the Steelers and the rest of the world underestimate the Patriots in this game. Look what happened with the Steelers-Saints game after the Saints lost to the Browns. Also, the Browns do not
What happened in that game?
I don't know. Also, okay, the Browns do not gain any advantage by winning, but needed the win to save Mangini's job. Everybody talks about some feud with Mangini and Belichick, but they do have a history of working together in the past. When you consider the Browns are a little Patriots with past players and coaches, perhaps some nods and handshakes were given. Yeah, no effing way. Steve from Albany.
Wow.
I don't even think he believes his own crap.
No, that is crap. And I think the Saints beat the Steelers 20-10 in that game, Paul.
But what was the point of, like,
I don't know.
Did anybody go into that game and say that New Orleans has no chance in this game?
No,
at home?
Not.
Coming
I thought
off
they'd
that
win
loss?
That game.
Yeah, I think most people thought they would win it.
But New Orleans lost the game the same way they've been losing a lot of other games. So it's not out of the norm for New Orleans. They've been turning the ball over.
No, they won the game.
Oh, I thought you meant the Browns game.
Oh, no. I'm saying coming off the Browns game, did anybody say New Orleans has no shot to beat Pittsburgh at home?
What's New Orleans' record?
5-3. I mean, it hasn't been quite the disaster it's been painting out to be.
That's why I thought I missed someone. He said
they were a game behind
a lot of other games.
They were a game behind the best record in the league.
Right. Yeah. That's why I was asking.
You know, they've been choppy.
It's a mediocre
league. Going into the weekend,
it's a terrible league.
I think Breeze was leading the NFL in picks or something, if I read that. He had 12.
He has a lot of picks.
He had 7 in like a...
He had four in that Cleveland game.
Yeah, and he had three the game before the game.
And
before.
He had another one this week.
Not that good.
James says, if T.O. were let go after the season, would you pick him up?
Nope. As I've said in the past and will continue to say, yes.
How about if he were released today?
Yes.
Nope.
Also, I'm going to the game this Sunday night. I don't think I'm going to wear anything indicating I'm with the Patriots, other than my watch, for my safety. Are there any other places where you would feel a little nervous about your personal safety going to an NFL game in which the Patriots are playing? I lived in Texas for a while and got my truck keyed several times for having a decal on my car. They even stole my decal during the 07 season.
You might get stabbed in Philly.
Oakland.
Oakland probably.
We've been told getting off the bus in Oakland, don't have Patriots logos on your shirt.
Yeah,
by the security director. That tells me it's scary.
I never had any problems in any road venues.
As a room for the team against the Patriots.
Yeah.
Oh, that's just now.
I've been to San Diego.
Since he kicked you out of his garage that you played in.
You know what? The worst place that I went to was Buffalo. Buffalo, they gave us a hard time.
They were pretty tough.
Up at Buffalo as road fans.
Seems like every time we go there, there's a story,
a lawsuit, something. They pelt our bus all the time.
I mean, last time, there was a real bad one recently where somebody got, it's like a lawsuit. Somebody got, like, really badly hurt.
No, that was here.
Oh, it was?
I think so.
Bills fans.
He just laughs.
All right.
Is John Rook not coming in to gloat about Colt McCoy and the way he absolutely undressed the New England Patriots?
There he is.
Or is he fixating on Colt McCoy's other team?
Right.
Which stinks.
Wow. Pukey Kaka, your other
Colt
team.
Colt McCoy
at 4
looked
and 5.
Tremendous, John Rook.
He did.
Looked like a veteran game manager. I won't say he made a ton of plays, but when he had to, he made them on the run. Tremendous.
I wasn't surprised.
What? Playing the role of Andy Hart and saying, pat on the back.
No pat on the back necessary.
But we were just talking. There were quotes, comments, analysis out of Cleveland in training camp that he could get cut. Now he's leading the team to victories over the Patriots, looking like, you know, he's got it.
All anybody like him or anybody else really in his position needs is a chance to show it. And he happened to have taken advantage of the opportunity. It's that simple.
Chad
Pennington? Does he remind you of Chad Pennington?
A little, in the fact that he's kind of come into, that's actually not a bad analogy. Kind of come into that situation. You know, a similar one, I think, that Chad had also come into.
I'm going to hammer it home until the national media starts speaking. Kind of like the picks contest. Let's just keep talking about it. Someone will pick it up.
But John,
maybe
I thought
someone will tweet it. And links.
Right.
I thought McCoy was just.
You can tweet it,
okay.
Ambo.
You know, an NFL prospect, but not elite.
Then you weren't paying attention during his collegiate career.
I think he's physically limited, personally.
How?
I don't think he's great. I don't think he's great in any one thing.
He doesn't have a big arm.
I don't think he's.
Does he have a big arm? No. Does he have a strong arm?
Yes. There are two.
Those are two different things.
He has average athleticism. He's average at everything.
I think he's got a better than average arm, and he's got better than average
strength. His strength is in his brain and in his heart.
Sure he does.
I think
he has better than
me over.
You know as well as I do, he has a better than average arm.
When he did the John Gruden quarterback camp,
that's silly.
He has an average arm.
That's
average.
Silly.
Just because he's better than Brian Hoyer, he's still average.
Nah, you got to be kidding me. What are you watching?
Andy,
NFL what are you possibly watching?
Average. Wow. Compare him to the average NFL quarterback.
I'm with Andy on the arm. I'm not with you on the athleticism. I think he has
above average athleticism
for the position.
I think he's
what Andy's watching.
I think he runs
well.
I think he's small, and he has a decent borderline NFL arm.
Because Andy's mad that he didn't pick him out when he went to the combine.
No, he kind of went exactly where I thought he'd go. I thought he was a decent next-tier quarterback.
It's only Dez Bryant who, you know, sneered at Eric. And,
no, I think Dez Bryant is
evidently he's the only Cowboy who showed up for the season.
Here's the thing that sets Colt apart right now. You have to take
Colt.
Total package into equation. Does he have good athleticism? Yes. Does he have decent arm strength?
Yes.
Does he have a real smart ability to think? Absolutely.
Looks like it.
When you combine all those things together, that makes a pretty good quarterback.
I agree. But not elite.
Well, I think you're only an elite quarterback, Andy, if you've got elite players around you. Okay?
Peyton Manning, to me, is an elite quarterback right now. And he's surrounded by
Peyton
garbage.
Manning also had Marvin Harrison to throw to for how many years?
Well, what does he have now?
Come on.
He's
had Ryan Dean blocking in front of him for
how
long?
He maybe wouldn't have gotten to where he is now unless he had that to build on.
Peyton Manning
would fall off the bus and be elite.
All right, well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress.
Nitpick Tuesday with John Rook.
What do you got coming up?
Lot to pick this week. Lots.
You got anyone coming up, Buster Crabb?
Just me. Buster Crabb?
Yeah.
Who's Buster Crabb?
Russell Baxter.
Thank you, John.
Oh, okay. How did that turn into Buster Crabb?
I have weird name associations.
What's my name association, Fred?
Oh, you're just John Rook.
I don't know if that's
is that good or
bad?
I don't know if
that's
a compliment
or not.
You're the rookie monster.
Okay. The The rookie monster.
Did you just make that up?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
He's very good.
Pretty good for dropping a hat. That's not
bad. All right, John, we'll leave it to you as far as us. We'll see you tomorrow.
That puts the wraps on another PFW in progress.
Well, come on, guys. We gave it our best.
Wow, that was your best?
Patriots.com radio.
The best is yet to come.